Hey, what's poppin'? The Drew and Mike Show is weaving our way into another weekend, the first one in October. From the Deals in the D.com studios, and the Drew and Mike Show is comprised of yours truly, Drew, Mark, Trudy, and Brandon from afar. And, oh my
I'm
my.
I'm there too.
Oh, Hawk, I'm sorry. Hawk's part of the show.
Thank you.
We may have a brief appearance. I don't know how the Hawk feels about Righteous Rick, but we might have a closely egg-timered visit.
I bet you they get along.
Oh, boy.
What did he say?
Oh, boy.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they'd be in the same plane. That'd be cool.
Short.
Oh. Hawk takes a physical shot.
I got to tell you, Hawk might have some of Righteous Rick's kryptonite, because I don't know, could Rick de-pants him?
That'd be hard.
I mean, first off, he's in this weird astral plane now, but even when he was in the chair, Rick would have, can you imagine Rick de-pantsing Stephen Hawking?
I think his pants were pretty fluid, judging by how many women he knocked off.
That's true. What if they got along famously? If Hawk and Rick just ended up being the best of friends?
Well, they got a lot in common.
Oh, they both like chicks. I mean, I don't think Rick likes chicks as much as Hawk. It's not even
Does
close.
Does he like gyration?
I think most dudes like gyration, yes. But not at that level.
I don't know if most guys are obsessed with gyration like Hawk.
We'd be fast friends.
I don't know about that.
Rick, by the way, two Ricks in the news today. One, Righteous Rick, Channel 4 just did a story about the Denny McClain auction, which is the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, right? Is it Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
And for some reason, Rick. I don't know if Rick wasn't available because he's so busy setting up the auction, but he was nowhere to be found in the piece on Channel 4. Huh. Now, was it a really brief piece? I didn't see it.
No, I thought it was, if anything, it was more of a feature where it was a little bit longer. So I mean, I kept looking for Rick everywhere.
Was he in the background or anything?
No, maybe they didn't show security, I guess.
All right, I'm going to say 3-minute egg timer, and it's not to be 1 second longer to find out why.
Come on, guys.
He's not in the piece. Why don't we just dial him up right now while I quickly mention White Boy Rick is also on his channel. 7 has their White Boy Rick exclusive at 6, so maybe we'll break in and catch that live. There's a lot of local TV going on. Since 2017, the Hope Not Handcuffs program has helped 4,600 people get the help and resources that they may not have gotten otherwise. If you know someone or you're struggling with substance abuse or addiction, regardless of what it is, you can go to 100, any of the 1 participating police locations, and ask for help with no fear of being arrested. That's the real key there. If you got some stupid warrant or some kind of silly thing that's not going to get in the way, they're going to get you connected with somebody who will come to the police department and do a little work, paperwork, phone calls, and get you placed into treatment that day. First step doesn't have to be the hardest. There is hope. 4,600 people. I mean, this is before this program had done this, and most successfully. So go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more and make the step towards recovery. HopeNotHandcuffs.com and Royal Oak this weekend. Oh, boy, I hope they have a weekend like last weekend because that place was crazy with our audience spending their $20 Royal Oak bucks all over town, all over, whether it's pizza or Mexican food or burgers, Comet burgers, milkshakes, or Lily's or Ale Mary's or whatever it was, or Right Impression.
Is there a strip club in Royal Oak?
Hawk!
You know what? The $20 in Royal Oak bucks would be, if there was a participating strip club, absolutely. I don't think there is, though. So maybe Royal Oak does have some growing to do.
Damn.
Sorry, Hawk. Anyway, yeah, go spend your $20, and they've got the Lyft rides in for $10 off and $10 off going home. That's G-O-2-R-O, go to Royal Oak. And then, of course, the Instagram contest is rolling as... if you go to @downtown_Royal Oak, they've got all the instructions for the contest. Post a photo to your Instagram feed of your favorite spot in downtown Royal Oak. Tag it @downtown_Royal Oak. Use the hashtag MI Downtown Day. That's just MI Downtown Day. Five winners will be selected at random to get $1,000 in downtown dollars to use at participating local businesses. So head to downtown Royal Oak, have some fun this weekend, get something to eat, and be sure to take a picture and post it and use that hashtag MI Downtown Day. And contest runs till October 11th at 11:59 p.m. $1,000. That's easy money. Okay, so Righteous Rick, what is going on? I mean, I really felt like he was making it up the other day.
I kind of did too, but he's on Facebook Live right now. So Rick, answer your phone when I call.
He's on Facebook Live doing what? At Denny's?
I don't know.
Jousting.
Annoying people. What he does best.
3 minutes. Okay. Sharp. Is this something he's doing at Denny's, the restaurant, maybe? Is he confused?
Well, this is good because this won't eat into his egg timer time.
I want dibs on that cardboard Ben Wallace at Denny's house, by the way.
Oh, he's got, I haven't seen what he's got.
Yeah.
Where are you looking at that, Trudy? Cool.
On the Alex, what's that guy's last name?
I don't
Jones,
know.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones piece on Channel 4.
Rick.
Yo.
Rick.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on? Are you pumped up for the auction?
Yeah, I was just telling Mark, Drew, I'm not there till the weekend, so.
What do you mean?
Oh, you're not a VIP.
Well, I'm always a VIP no matter where I go.
What, you're blowing off Friday?
No, I'm going Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, you didn't pay the $400 to be a VIP?
Come on, I'm not fucking paying a dime. I just walk in.
Wait, Rick.
Well,
okay. I thought you...
How'd that work for you last time?
We'll talk about that later, Mark.
I thought you were involved in this thing.
Brandon, you know what I mean.
Oh, I am. Okay, so bottom line is, the company he hired, they don't know sports memorabilia.
He hired a company to handle the sale that doesn't know sports memorabilia?
Yeah, they don't know about memorabilia, no.
Are there no companies that do that sort of thing?
Memorabilia.
Yeah, there's a couple, but not too many around here.
I don't know, Rick. I saw the guy on the Channel 4 piece. I thought he knew his stuff pretty well.
Yeah.
Oh, is he from the company?
Aaron was on Channel 4?
Somebody was talking about it, yeah.
Rick, now you interviewed, did you talk to Channel 4 when they were out there?
No, I talked to Denny, and he just said, I want you to come and help me, and I said, okay.
Well, Rick, Channel 4 just ran a lengthy piece on this sale, and you were nowhere to be found.
No, I won't be there till tomorrow, Drew.
Okay. Do you feel a little bit snubbed on that?
Yeah, but if I got to smack anybody, I'll handle it.
Okay.
I don't know what you're going to do.
Last call for instructions, because the other day I felt you were telling us to go look stuff up, and I just wondered if you had gotten a handle on what exactly to do if you want to go.
I, honest to God, Drew, to be totally honest with you, I don't know.
You don't?
No. Denny just said, will you please be here? I need
this man is lying his head off.
Rick, you promised us the last time we talked to you that you were going to have the info the next time we talked to you. That's right now.
Okay.
Hawk's kind of pissed too, I heard. I don't know.
We just don't want to be lied to anymore.
Hey, Rick, do you like gyrating or what?
Jesus Christ, you guys. One at a time.
We only have three minutes on the egg timer. Is there an address? Do you know what town he lives in? State?
Answer the question.
Yeah, I know the state. He actually lives in Michigan, Drew.
Okay, and does he have an address?
Yeah, he's in Wixom, guys.
Just drive to Wixom and there's signs?
Oh, my God, I can't give his address out.
Why? It's in the article. Yeah, how are people supposed to go?
Well, why didn't you read the article then?
Rick? We know way more about this thing than you do, and you're supposed to be involved.
No.
Hawk, what did Hawk say about the egg timer?
Listen, fuck the egg timer. Stick it up his ass.
What's going on with the egg timer? 10 seconds, Rick. 10 seconds.
It?
Last plug. Okay. Go, plug.
Anyways, I'm going to be there all weekend. You guys come out to Denny McLean's house. See me there. I'll be there all
weekend. You want to fight me, Rick?
Where's the gong? Damn it.
The gong, I just hung up on him.
I'll roll all over your ass.
We need the gong for the future.
He's going to be so mad. I love it.
Wait, there's a chance to plug this to our 140,000 people who will likely download the show tomorrow. Maybe 160,000, 170,000. You never know.
Any given day.
And he chooses to say that I'll be there all day. Where?
And he won't. He doesn't want to give out the address.
What? It was in the newspaper article. I could have sworn it was.
Go there otherwise. It
absolutely was because I looked at where it's located.
Like, I mean, that guy is just not professional.
I mean, do you have to pay money to be allowed to know the address or something? It just doesn't make any sense.
It was in the newspaper. Cindy says Rick doesn't want anyone to show up because he wants to keep all the memory to sell himself.
I like you, Cindy.
I'm starting to think so.
Rick commenting on Facebook. Whatever, guys. Unreal. Are you mad, Rick? We gave you 3 minutes.
It's unreal that he had 3 minutes and he can't tell people how to get there.
And you weren't there today, Rick.
You
want
to go, Rick?
I mean, couldn't you just say take 96 and get off at this exit and it's, you know, 4 blocks or something? Wouldn't there be something to say to sort of just...
He could tweet out... Oh, wait, he can't tweet out the end.
I'll kick you, baby, kicking ass so mad.
He's so mad.
Hawk is piling on so bad. Is Rick commenting still?
Yeah, you guys are unfucking real.
Let's go, Rick.
I think he's mad.
I want to call him back. 45-second egg timer. 45 seconds. Brandon, do you have a gong?
I do have a gong, yeah. Okay.
Gong him at 45 seconds. I want to know why he's mad. That's all I want to know. And if he wants to work on his plug, maybe better it somehow.
Yeah, he can hear all this, so.
I don't know. Give me a second.
So he knows.
He's mad because I'm going to beat his ass and steal his girl.
He's going to be ready, right?
I hope he doesn't spend all his time popping off at Hawk.
He might.
Baby kick Rick.
Oh my God.
What are you
Rick.
What are you upset about? Unfucking real. What's unfucking real?
I didn't know I was supposed to give Denny's address out, man.
Some people are saying, Rick, you really don't know anything about this sale.
Well, some guys are saying I'm annoying and they can get fucked too. Yeah.
Don't cry about it.
You sure this isn't at Denny's, the restaurant?
If you want me to give the address, then call back and I'll give you the address.
Okay, the egg timer's got, we have 45 seconds left. We're in overtime on the egg timer. And you don't, can you tell us what exit to get off or what highway to take?
I'm GPSing, man. I think I'm going 23 to 96, probably.
Slow down, Rick.
Okay, and then which exit?
I have no clue.
Well, that was a waste again.
Where's the gong? Has it been 45
seconds? I don't have my hands.
God. What is going on here? Okay, well, that's that. 23 to 96, and then you're on your own.
We should play the piece back.
Yeah.
Do you want to play
it? Let's see if they have any information. This is the most mysterious event I've ever been engaged to or introduced to.
I really liked Devin's commentary afterwards.
I think that was kind of mean.
And Devin's commentary afterwards?
A little bit.
Oh, but I think it was right on point.
Yeah, it's who I am. I mean, it really is who I am. Denny McClain played with the Detroit Tigers for almost 10 years.
Good morning. We have an amazing estate sale that starts tomorrow.
See, look at all those people there and all that stuff there.
That's a lot of stuff.
And no Rick.
Tomorrow, today is VIP day, and we're selling Dennis McClain's personal sports collection.
See, that's Aaron from the place that Rick says he doesn't know what he's talking about, yet he has all the information.
Much stuff this way.
Rick wasn't invited.
It's a better way of getting rid of it and sharing it with a bunch of people.
Trashes the people.
Yeah, I would describe this estate sale as a sports lover paradise.
We've got lots of stuff.
Guy's got a red Tigers jersey on.
We've got it all. So, this is one of the four.
Fun sale. Got to talk to Mr. McClain.
I hate to point out that this guy's wearing his Old English D mask upside down.
Deep. Not seen that one in a while.
Haven't seen it in a long time.
Talked to him about his glove here that I bought from him, and it was fun. He put it on. Hadn't put it on in years till he pulled it out.
And is it tough to let this go?
Pull what out?
Okay. Yeah, there's some of it. Yeah. I mean, the stuff that I not let go were my two Cy Youngs, my MVP, the World Series ring. All of that's in a bank vault. And it'll stay there.
That's all the good stuff.
Mr. McClain said, if you ever take it out, she'll come back and haunt the hell out of me. So the grandkids are going to get that stuff.
Yeah, it was a great experience. He was very kind to let us in.
No, come on by and say hello.
No,
we got
Rick.
Pepsi. I think we got hot dogs starting tomorrow and stuff like that. So.
No, oh, maybe Rick's working the hot dog stand.
Ball game tomorrow. And sliding practice.
He can find his way there.
I heard Danny gave Rick the wrong address.
the collection just looks vast. I mean, you don't want to say hoarder because it's obviously all stuff that somebody would actually want, but I mean, it's just so much of it.
A lot of stuff, and that was photojournalist Alex Adams.
I think Devin is overwhelmed by all the amount of stuff that Denny McLean still has.
Did they give any information, like a website or phone number? Is it?
I think they did in the beginning.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
If not, just ask Rick.
I hope Rick heard it.
Just tweet at Rick.
Well, Rick just gave it in the Facebook Live.
It seems to me they're trying to keep
it. He's got it now.
I don't know how you do that, but
you're going to give them the wrong address.
They've been extremely successful in keeping Rick uninformed. I mean, I don't know how many people it takes to do that. As far as the guy, Alex, who apparently, you know, doesn't know anything about sports, I thought he was very credible. He's wearing a Tigers jersey.
Yeah.
But I guess there's nobody that does that for sports. I guess only memorabilia is sold in Michigan that's related to things other than sports. I always thought sports memorabilia was pretty big.
Dan says, "Will Righteous Rick be looking in Denny's fridge for tomato cans?"
Oh, my. Well, what a way to start the show.
Rick's still, I'll fight him.
Oh, don't tell me he's still popping off. He better not be.
I'm there because Aaron doesn't know how to price the items.
Go to bed, Rick.
Let me stick in shots at the guy who's on TV. The guy who's there today on TV promoting the event properly. Boy, it's easy to just pop off from the sidelines. When is Rick going to get into the arena? Get in the mix, Rick. Come on.
That's what we're waiting for.
God, if he could just get that address.
Paul on Facebook Live earlier wanted to know why the room was so dark.
It was... You mean the room Denny's in?
No, the room we're in. Why it's so dark. You can explain it.
Well, I'm bright. I'm brighter than you guys. I said I'm too bright, and then I would happily trade lighting with you, which both of you acted like, oh, our lighting's so dark, we don't like it. Well, Trudy, but now nobody's trading with me.
Trudy, you and I, we have the ring lights that I think people have seen, and then Drew has professional. I said you have the professional lighting ring.
I don't like that light. I'm brighter than everyone else. I don't want to be brighter than everyone else. I want to be darker.
Hang on, wrong button. Is that better?
You guys are still darker than me for some reason.
Is that better?
No, I'm still the brightest person.
Hang on.
What do I have to do to be the less bright?
They got rid of the light bulb that people got used to. The new bulb is many times more expensive. Okay. And I hate to say it, it doesn't make you look as good. Of course, being a vain person, that's very important to me. It's like, it gives you an orange look. I don't want an orange look. Has anyone noticed that?
That's better.
That's better.
At least
look how dark now.
I'm not the brightest person in the room. That's all I ask. What, if you guys like my lighting so much, why won't you trade?
Because I can't fit that rig between all the stuff between Trudy and I.
Trade? He wants to rewire the studio for his
just
lighting.
Just wire it all.
There you go.
But Thomas Edison.
Why did those two get wired to you guys and I got this?
Because look how small
space
that
and
is
availability
compared to that. Plus, that's the professional one.
I prefer
guy?
One of those.
This guy is so vain.
No, I want to be dark.
Well, look, you're
you guys are always darker than me. No matter what happens with that light, I am the brightest person in the room. I don't want to be bright.
It's your inner
I'm
light.
The brightest now.
I know Brandon you looks are. So ridiculously bright now.
By far. Of course, I can barely read what I have in front of me now, but that's okay. oh boy. There is much, much to talk about today, and because we're off to such a frivolous start, I think let's stay frivolous. Oh, South Park was incredible.
It was so good.
South Park.
Very good. Should we play a clip from...
Yeah.
Which one, though?
Oh, maybe we should wait.
Yeah. I mean, Facebook got enough of Rick, so we can...
Yeah, I mean,
say adios to Facebook.
He's the star of Facebook. I mean, it was exciting to see someone be deprived of information that is readily available.
Just gave the address out now
again.
On Facebook Live.
I mean,
he did it before. It's the
been
second.
Like 7 days that he's been deprived of this information somehow.
By Rick, you dick.
How many people has it taken to keep that information from him?
I don't know.
I mean, people are there today. Just regular Joes are there.
No, Rick.
He's involved in this, and he can't figure it out. But he just got the address. So, Zod, Ford, and Holly, dealsindeed.com are at it again. It's truck month. That means right now is the best time to take advantage of this year's most incredible savings on all Ford trucks, including the number one selling truck in America for 42 straight years. What else? The F-150. And then the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked about truck in Detroit. So, Get the Zod Ford, lease new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see Zot Ford about leasing a 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Gabar and friends at Zot Ford still have Fusions, Mustangs, EcoSports, Escapes, Edges, Explorers, all under $200 a month. See all the details and surf their massive inventory at dealsnd.com. And Hall Financial, oh, we got another refi, a nice notice from somebody.
Really?
Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, he did really well. He is, oh, here he is, Derek. Okay, there's David Hall's response. Hey, guys, been a long-time listener of the radio show and now the podcast. I just want to let you know that I am currently in the process of refinancing.
I can do that.
Thank you.
That, Derek?
I think it is.
It is, yeah, clearly.
I'm in the process of refinancing with Hall Financial. They got my rate down to 2.9% and are saving me $225 a month.
Oh, God, I want to save that.
I don't know how to do it.
This has been awesome, and they have been great to work with. Now, Derek, I hope you're not going to bring the average down. Are we talking 19 days or less? Hopefully. We'll see. I forwarded to David Hall, and he said, this is great. He's always fired up. And, of course, Hall
Financial.
It's about
a year, wasn't it?
No, Derek.
You can call 248-308-5000. Go to davidhallmortgage.com/DrewandMike or go to our website, click the link, and fill out the form, and Hall Financial will get back to you so fast. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and somebody will probably get back to you quickly. NMLS number 1467-435.
See you soon. Bye.
We have some really funny celebrity brush with celebrity.
Oh, really?
I mean, just a bunch of them. They're starting to really flow in. I hope more come because these stories are endlessly funny. And I really believe that the smaller the celebrity, the smaller the brush, sometimes the funnier because it's just so ridiculous and people retain everything about it. I mean, have you noticed that about brushes?
Yes.
Yeah. There are some people, though, they feel like they don't want to intrude on the person's...
That's part of what makes it tricky.
Yeah, well, Lindsay's story yesterday is a great example of being paid back for not asking for a photo or an autograph and just being a normal person.
Yeah, respecting them like
a
person. But
it seems that very few people know the middle ground.
No.
Most people are either too aggressive, they're too excited, and they just have to, oh, my God, I want a picture... Or they want an autograph or whatever, and then other people just don't even know what to do. They're just completely freaked out. Well, Drew was a security manager at a nightclub, and one night his manager came up and said he had a VIP for him to keep an eye on. Wasn't unusual for local politicians like Jesse Jackson Jr. Oh, God. Jackson Jr. Or actors or musicians. They usually introduced themselves and then ignored me for the rest of the night. No big deal. I'm not a starstruck kind of person. This time was different. I walked into the restaurant, connected to the nightclub, and there was Patrick Swayze. Swayze sitting at the bar with his wife. I was introduced, and he went back to eating. About 15 minutes later, he turned around and asked if I smoked. At the time, I did, so we went upstairs on the sidewalk and had a smoke. Well, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Swayze needed a smoke. Baby in a corner.
Needed a smoking buddy.
Just me and Swayze standing on Rush Street on a Saturday night shooting the breeze. This guy would chain smoke 3 cigarettes in a row, then return to his wife and his drink. 15 minutes later, turns around and says, hey, Drew,
Roadhouse.
Want to smoke? I said, sure. This happened for about 3 hours. He just kept telling cool stories about his career and his life. So now that we, by the way, I would expect Patrick Swayze to be a nice guy. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Because
he just seems like a, I'm not saying from his characters, I've seen a lot of interviews with him, he just seems like a laid back.
Roadhouse.
I mean, this is how I want him to be. I mean, naturally he got sick, very sick, so I wish he wasn't smoking repeatedly, but too late now. Anyway, Drew, smoke. I said, sure. This happened for about 3 hours. He kept telling cool stories about his life and career. So now that we obviously become best friends, I asked him about Chris Farley. He said Farley was one of the best guys he ever knew, but he was haunted by his demons. He said he called Farley the day before he passed. He seemed kind of down, but he didn't blame himself that no one could help him. It was one of the coolest nights of my almost 15 years working in nightlife. A few months later, he passed away himself.
Oh, wow.
And he got really gaunt in those last, few months there, which sucked. He had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, that shit.
And they were always giving him shit in the news about, why are you still smoking when you have cancer? And He was like, it's not on my priority list right now.
Right. Pancreatic cancer is almost, well, back yeah, then
I,
it was.
I think pancreatic cancer is pretty much a death sentence.
Was yep. back
depending
then.
On how long.
Trebek has fought it like a.
Yeah. What's Trebek got going on?
Yeah.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And at his age, too. And he's had other problems. Yeah. Okay. So here's Joe, who used to work at the big movie studio in Pontiac. Ooh. Back when we were the movie state.
Yeah.
I didn't have much interaction with the celebs, but here's what I took away from the little bit I did. Mila Kunis. That's pretty major.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Not hot.
What?
And she's not loaded with makeup. I was shocked by this.
What?
She's all yours.
I'll take her.
That's what he said. Yeah, although she's all yours.
Although Kuchar ruined her.
I know. I would.
There's plenty of photos of her online with no makeup. She looks great.
Find some, please.
Anybody that wants to be with Ashton Kutcher? No, thanks. It's not going to work. I'm officially dumping her. If she ever thinks there's anything between me and her, she's wrong.
Well, she was with
pre-dumped.
Macaulay Culkin before that, too. So she's...
That's pretty weird, isn't it?
Right hook up with you because she has
She's a cool chick.
A pretty weird dude compass.
Sounds like she might have an ambition issue, much like Mariah Carey. I was amazed she admitted that she had no attraction to... Sounds like she wants some Jeter dick, by the way.
Again,
retap by
wait,
Jeter.
She had no attraction to who?
Tommy Mottola.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No. Clearly, but Kunis does. She didn't need Kuchar's money.
What did she get out of Macaulay Culkin?
She
wanted to touch the same penis that Jackson touched. Oh, that's right.
Oh,
no. She wanted to stare at the same butthole.
I love Michael Jackson. He's touched your penis, hasn't he?
That's not true.
Yeah. He said it's not true. I know. It was a bad joke.
Brandon pulled up a lot of pictures of her without makeup. She looks good. This guy must have just really high standards.
Michelle Williams, exactly the opposite of Kunis. Incredibly hot all the time. I'll take her.
That I believe, yeah.
Jason Momoa, guy's huge in person. He was always friendly, always said hi. Henry Cavill, he played Superman. Mm-hmm. Who's Henry Cavill? Which guy is that?
Played Superman. He's been in a bunch of things.
He's up for the Bond role.
The Witcher, man.
He's always huge
the Witcher.
Movie star.
Yeah.
Always took a second to talk between shooting and working out his 4 to 6 hours a day. Not much interaction with anyone else, but Ben Affleck walked around like his shit didn't stink and would not talk to anyone.
Of course.
He was always surrounded by like three people, I assume were buffers to keep the lowlifes away.
Probably right.
That's great.
Hey, by the way, there was this day in history about Michael Jackson.
Today?
Today it was like, I think it was, when did he die?
2009.
Yeah. So I think it was 2007 or something like that. There was a picture of him in a Boy Scout uniform with some Boy Scouts.
Oh, boy.
Like
2007. And these are, you know, what, 12-year-old Boy Scouts?
Yeah. Well, they're boys.
Are they in uniform? Are they in uniform, too?
Yeah, they were in uniform, too. So it was a cute little picture of him in a Boy Scout uniform with
him in Canteen Boy?
Yeah. Boy, that was troublesome.
Gross.
Okay, Mike. What was the occasion, Trudy? You didn't even say. What was the excuse for him hanging out with Boy Scouts? Because I don't think he goes camping. I don't think he's one of the. I just want to get outside. I want to get back. I want to go offline.
Is he a counselor? Maybe he's just a counselor.
This was 1994.
Get off the grid. I don't want any special things. I just want me and nature.
And tying knots. And
some 12-year-old boys.
1994.
One less sleeping bag than we need.
We slept in the same sleeping bag. Daily Mirror in the UK printed a photo of Michael Jackson in a Scoutmaster's uniform along with five young Boy Scouts.
So he's just a troop leader.
We have the footage. I have all the footage.
A Boy Scout leader later made a statement saying that Jackson had no association with the organization. Pretty sensitive about that.
It's pretty weird that he felt he had to do that.
He was probably the second worst scout leader, do you think?
Well,
the second worst?
The guy that I knew was pretty bad.
He was probably third. I thought this guy was the worst.
Not going! The hell you say? Oh. Not! This is Skipper's old stuff and it doesn't fit! I'm staying home!
You're gonna fall back in it. That's all you're gonna do. Now get out of here!
Look!
Shut your pie hole. You look fine.
Look like an idiot.
You act like an idiot. You look fine.
Hey, you said you'd get me a new uniform.
I said I tried to get
you. It's new to you.
Besides, this one is new. It's new to you.
Well, look at this sleeve. Look at him. Now he's
done for my piss and moan. All you can do is piss and moan.
Yeah, piss and moan. I know you're all jazzed up in new stuff.
Maybe they have secondhand uniforms in my size.
My size.
He's such a dick in that movie.
It's the best.
Oh, my God. Okay, Brushes with Celebrities. This is from... Please respect redacting of name.
Oh.
Okay. Well. He was a bellman.
Edit that out.
At a... Well, I didn't say anything, did I? Except...
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought that's what he wanted redacted.
Name and place of employment. Yeah, you can... Okay, we bleep his name. That's a good idea. He was a bellman at a nice hotel for 3 years. Got to meet pretty much everyone who walked in the door. Everyone there told me I'd be meeting celebrities after a month. All I met was Ruben Studdard after seeing a Pistons game. That's kind of a bummer. 2 days later, I was sent up to a suite and was helping a well-dressed black couple in their 70s with their luggage. I rode down in the elevator. They were quiet and well-spoken, very unassuming, and then asked if we could hold their luggage while they went to the restaurant to eat breakfast. 20 minutes later, I saw this white dude wheeling their luggage out the door, so I ran and stopped him. I said, "Hey, that's not your luggage." He pulled a wallet out of the inside of his coat, which looked like it had about 6 wallets in it, and said, "Does it belong to him?" It was George Clinton's driver's license.
Oh, wow.
And there he was with a multicolored dread wig and his license photo. I'd seen him in concert about 5 times, but had no idea he was in town. And when they walked by me 10 minutes later, it was definitely him. He was so different in person versus the persona he plays on stage and in interviews, especially without the wig. Nicest guest was Richard Karn from Home Improvement. Was in town shooting some local TV ad. Recognized him right away. In check-in, I gave him his signature tool time salute, 2 fingers off the brow.
Do you think he's the first one to ever do that?
He got the biggest smile and just, "Oh yeah, you know it." Nodded as he walked past. Later when he was returning, he stopped and chatted with the valet and I for about 20 minutes. Seemed very interested in the conversation. Was funny, quick on his feet. The next day I found out he'd given the front desk $50 for the valet and I. That's really cool. All I'd really done was open the door for him, never touched his luggage.
That's great. That's cool.
Biggest diva.
He's doing something now, too. Trudy was telling me, and I said, "Yeah, I saw it." I was reading through all my stories, and it said Tim Allen and Richard Karn reunite, and I went on to the next story because I just didn't really.
Yeah, I can't imagine what those two would unite to do that would make me intrigued enough to stop and want to know more.
That isn't unless, tool time, yeah.
Unless one of them were... in the other's butt or so something.
They're showing like, up on the History Channel.
You don't want to know then?
Well, History Channel.
I'd be surprised.
They're not in each other's butts.
Oh.
They're in Assembly Required. So, yeah.
What
on the
is
History
that?
Channel.
You know, I'm a history buff.
Sounds really cliche,
I want
doesn't
you
it?
You two to kiss each other.
Yeah, so they're
I think it's just tool time, basically.
Real tool time, yeah.
Biggest diva was Ariana Grande.
Oh, no shock.
It was her first tour, and Momzilla was there in full force, bossing everyone around. Ariana's personal assistant and 2 other assistants ended up quitting the second day she was there.
What?
This is only the 3rd or 4th stop on the tour, and in the elevator, the personal assistant was unloading all this personal shit about what a bitch Ariana is.
Oh, God. No wonder she got fired.
It was a very awkward elevator ride. Well, she's already fired.
Yeah,
by then.
True.
Since we have notoriously
no
slow
non-disclosure?
Elevators.
No non-disclosure?
What's that?
No non-disclosure?
Not on that one. It was, who knows?
Well, clearly, if the girl's popping off.
She's a 2nd or 3rd assistant, but it's her first tour, so maybe they don't know about non-disclosures yet. Anyway, it was a super awkward elevator ride since we have notoriously slow elevators. Stopped at each floor only for the doors to open, close, then slowly lumber down again. So she had ample time to chew my ear off. She told me she worked on 5 other tours with singers, never had seen anything like this.
What are you supposed to do when someone's popping off like that?
I would actually encourage them to keep going.
Yeah, that's true.
Personally, Alice Cooper stayed a few times.
I would have just said,
"Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it?" That didn't work out well at all, did it?
Could anyone want to terminate that drop? That blows my mind.
Overruled.
Maybe we should suspend it for 2 weeks just so you can find out what it's like to live without that drop.
I couldn't even make it 2 days.
Alice Cooper stayed a few times. Nice as nice could be. The second time was with the Hollywood Vampire Tour. Oh.
With Johnny?
Johnny Depp. Was a recluse, insisted on taking the freight elevator from the basement.
Oh, that's old Johnny Depp. Yeah.
His private driver was allowed to pull down there all the way up to his suite. Room service was to be left outside the door. No one was allowed to even see him. The hallways had to be completely empty before
God.
He would even open the door to his suite. That's ridiculous. He could have put a hat and sunglasses and walked right through the lobby. Nobody would have even recognized
him. His usual look, though.
Yeah. Meanwhile, here's Alice, one of the most recognizable people in entertainment. He just strolled through, taking pictures with people, thanking them for saying hi. What a guy.
That's awesome.
He was very complimentary about the hotel's carpeting in the hallway leading to his suite. This is what I mean about remembering little things.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrown off a bit. And he said, you can tell a lot about a hotel by their carpeting. This carpet just makes sense. I took his word for it. He's definitely stayed in a few more hotels than me. Peter Wolf was probably the funniest. God, I love Peter Wolf. You know, I really wasn't a big Jay Giles fan. I mean, I liked some of their songs, yeah. But when he did the Riff birthday party.
Pat Giles?
Was that 92?
Yeah, I think.
92 or 93?
No,
David
no.
Lee Roth did it one year.
Oh,
was it the Ritz?
That's right. I remember the Ritz. He couldn't stop smiling.
No.
What drug was that?
That was weird because we went in the back room and we took a picture with him. And it was awkward, extremely awkward.
Are you talking about the one when Delbert came up?
No.
Oh, that was a different time?
No, this was like 3 or 4 years before that, okay. Or maybe 5 years before that.
I nailed some kicks with Roscoe, dude.
But I had never seen Jay Giles live. I'd never seen Peter Wolf live. And I just, he is so outstanding live. I mean, he is just...
It's Pat like Giles?
The American Mick Jagger. I mean, he's really, for a front man.
It's a good.
I just don't think there are many front men who are better at being a front man. I mean, there's better singers. There's people singing better songs. There's a lot of things, but he's just fantastic.
Oh, he's energy. Just complete energy on stage.
And it really matched the music. It all kind of worked live. I don't think they could possibly pull it off on a record. I don't think you possibly recreate that, which some bands have trouble with. But anyway, I just really fell in love with Jay Giles live. I just thought they were fantastic. And Peter Wolf solo, too. But anyway, he says Peter Wolf was the funniest.
Pat Giles?
The morning after the show, I was sent up to help him with his bags. His wife or manager, I'm not sure which, let me in, and there he is, face down on the floor in his kitchenette, clearly very hungover. All he was talking about was getting a milkshake.
All I could think of, Burt Reynolds.
Yes, he said that. All I could think of was, could somebody please get me a BLT? He then told me he loves the milkshakes from the small burger joint in town, known for their shakes, and requested one, but only if he went to get it.
What?
A chance to drive around with Peter Wolf? Fuck yeah. I told him I'd have the shuttle van out front in 10 minutes. The burger place just a couple blocks away, but I forgot that weekend was one of the weekend festivals and the streets were very busy.
That's probably why he was there.
He was mumbling something and we pulled up to a light and he said, there's the place, and hopped out saying, wait right here. I was in the right turn lane and couldn't possibly wait right there. I pulled around the block again, but as there was no place to park, I had to just keep circling around looking for him. I was now gone from the hotel for about 15 minutes. The front desk was calling, going, where are you? Where's Peter? The bus needs to leave. I had to lie to them. I couldn't admit that I had lost him in the sea of people. Another 15 minutes of circling with no luck. The front desk called again. Where are you? Peter was hopping onto the bus as we spoke. Apparently, he had found his way back on his own.
Oh, wow.
Unfortunately, no tip. But it was still, he was a super nice guy, even while extremely hungover. Okay, let's see. Who's this? A rough-looking guy. This is a long one. A rough-looking guy got dropped off one evening as he was hopping out of the front seat of a 15-year-old F-150. I thought nothing of it. In the elevator, we were talking, and he looked so familiar. The next morning, I was sent up to his room for a bag call. It was Tom Arnold, talking a mile a minute as he let me in. I'm on the phone with my son. Say hi. He then had me hold his phone, really awkward, while he ran around yelling to his son on speakerphone, throwing clothes in his bag.
What?
The hell? I have no idea if his son was 5 or 25. Because he never got a chance to respond to anything Tom said to him. He never stopped talking.
His son probably wasn't even there. Probably
walked away. I only thought he had one son, Jax, who's only 7 now.
I know. This doesn't make any sense. That's pretty funny. Lots of other stories if you want them. Well, yeah, we do want them. Send them.
That's great.
I didn't hear such a cover of... You were such a lover of cover kazooists who peaked before the age of 7.
Oh,
what?
Amen.
You're for the little girl.
Oh. Amen, yeah.
The little girl is a performer. She's cute.
So is the drummer.
So
and
is
you
the
shit
drummer.
All over the drummer.
Well, the drummer, yeah, the drummer's a show off and a hot dog. And
the drummer's
not
a
genuine.
Performer,
that girl
man.
Was genuine.
Oh, I think you're so mistaken.
That drummer is peaking. I'm telling you, the drummer peaked at 10.
Well, that girl, that dancer peaked at 4, however old she is.
Well,
she's
not
going
a show
anywhere.
Off. She just likes doing
No, her dad and her brother are.
Yeah, I agree. No argument about that.
What are they called? The quarantine kids?
Colt somebody in the quarantine kids?
Nice.
Let's see.
Does the drummer have any new videos, Brandon? I haven't looked lately.
I forgot her name.
Oh, I guarantee you she does. I promise you she's got a new video. She can't stop making videos. Damn it, where's my brush of celebrities? I know there's a couple more here.
Well, there's the one. Here's the one about that Matt sent about all the tigers. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. Lance Parrish is the nicest guy. He went to Cleveland and stayed in the same hotel as the Tigers so he could get autographs. It's in 86, 88, 92. Nice parents.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Parrish is the nicest guy. He signed 10 baseball cards for me at one time. Harwell and Sparky were also nice. Sparky picked up my 3-year-old brother and swung around a little. L.K. Line, a little bit of a dick. He kind of raised his voice at some kids, including me, about bugging him for autographs.
Quit
bugging me.
Saturday, the first 10,000 fans get an Alkaline Scratch and Win collector card. Plus, 500 fans will win an authentic Alkaline autographed baseball sponsored by McDonald's. Catch it all by calling 248-25-TIGER.
I cannot believe you have that.
Isn't it the best?
She had
a tweet just recently because she got to be in the Bill and Ted movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was excited about that.
Still working for Beats by Dre?
No, she's an Apple. She's got a pretty sweet job.
Hey.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
I wonder if she knows how to pronounce L.K. Line.
Probably.
Doesn't have to.
Good for her.
Lucky.
Let's see. Al was not so nice. I got his autograph a few times, but that sort of soured me on K Line. His broadcast partner, George Kell, was super nice. So was Jim Northrup. Kirk Gibson was how you think Gibby would be. He signed a lot, but came across a little moody at times. That's why Gibby's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think he always knows what's coming. he lifts your game up. Gibby. He makes you compete at a higher level, even when you want autographs. He came into the lobby to check out. All the fans swarmed him. He said he wasn't going to sign that day, so Willie Hernandez at the checkout desk next to Gibby. Willie had a line of people, including me, waiting for an autograph. I was about 9, and I gave Gibby my best puppy dog eyes. He nodded his head for me to come over. I quickly flipped my Tiger yearbook to his page for him to sign. All of a sudden, Willie's entire line shifted to Gibby. He stood and signed for 10 minutes. We also saw Trammell sneak into the elevator holding 2 cases of beer. My brother and I started walking toward him, but he decided to back off and let him be. I got Cecil. Prince was with him. He must have been 10 years old. He was huge. At least 4 Mandy Moores.
Remember when Prince did the McDonald's commercials when he was 12?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was a big boy then.
His career ended so fast.
Yeah. That was a great, great trade for the Tigers.
Yeah. Let's see. Cecil. Dave Bergman and Frank Tanana were nice. Jack Morris and Dave Collins were kind of moody. Collins even smeared his signature on the baseball card as he handed it to me.
Wow.
Oh, dick.
Larry Herndon's hands were so big he would not sign baseball cards. What? That is so weird.
That's such a lie.
My hands are too big. I can't sign baseball. Anything but a baseball card.
You can have one of them giant oversized pencils.
I kind of want to look that up to see if there's anything at all to it. All right, for some reason, Tony Phillips wouldn't sign any cards where he's in a Tiger uniform. Weird. While he's on the Tigers? That's weird. Doug Baker was really young. He was always in the game room playing Ms. Pac-Man.
There's plenty of Larry Herndon autographs online.
On baseball cards? Any on cards?
It looks like it. Hang on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's one for sale on eBay.
Well, he just wanted to get out of signing, apparently. What an ass. Okay, let's see. I think one more pretty.
Meanwhile, Nandy has a new original song, the 10-year-old drummer.
Now what?
Should I torture him?
Oh, an original song?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm sure it's screaming up the charts.
I give her credit for capitalizing on this Dave Grohl thing, and I wonder if Dave's wondering, like, what kind of monster
have I created?
Yeah, because it's called Rockin' Grohl.
Oh, God.
Your symphony was truly, truly epic. But I've been keeping up something special for you.
Too much talking. Start rocking, Nandy.
Rockin' Grohl.
Hit it.
Oh, what do you know? She's playing every instrument.
Too much bass. Jeez.
Think the bass is taken away from the vocal?
Ooh, look at her. Look at her. Use that guitar there, man.
Playing one note. That's really something.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
I'm glad you guys love this. She played every day.
Well, like I said before, I like it better when she's just drumming.
You know, something tells me I know Hawk would side with me on this one.
Well, she doesn't play the kazoo. So.
Hey, different people are out for different things. She's out to be a giant star. She thinks she's going to peak at 10, take advantage. You know what? I'm only 10. Yeah, people are just going to be blown away by me because all I do is drum, drum, drum all day.
No one wants anyone to
pursue. I'm a big hot dog. I wear sunglasses inside because I'm so fucking cool.
She's cool.
And I write original music even though every song sucks.
The production's awful.
The song was awful.
That'd be great if Girl responded with, nice try, but that production's terrible. Now get out of my life, 10-year-old Nandy.
Kevin was in Wachovia PGA golf tournament in Charlotte. I was watching some of the pros practice on the driving range. Boring. It was middle of the day. All the leaders were out on the course. There's only like one pro hitting balls on the range, and I was the only schmuck watching him hit. All of a sudden, one white dude stands next to me, and these two black guys stand on the other side of me. Seconds later, the pro is hitting balls, comes back to say hi. They talk about how he's playing and whatever, and I can gather the white dude is his agent. The agent says, hey, man, I want you to meet somebody. This is Chris Paul. He's about to be drafted to the NBA.
Wow.
The dumb golfer looks at me and shakes my hand and says, it's cool to meet me. He's like screwing with him. I'm like a 5'7 white guy. The agent says, no, 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 not him. He's nobody. Chris is next to him. Chris Paul was super offended. He just shook this golfer's hand, looked at me all pissed, and just walked off. The agent guy apologized to me and chased after him. Was he screwing around or was he just wrong? That sounds so dumb. One other one a few years ago, I was about to speak to 300 people. Ooh! In Columbus, Ohio, the conveners told me I would be speaking before the keynote, former Ohio State coach Jim Tressel. They said they wanted to have some walk-up music for when I came on stage and asked what song I would like. I said, Hail to the Victors! I was promptly booed.
What?
And Tressel made fun of me relentlessly during his speech. I had a chance to meet Tressel backstage after we were done. He was actually a really nice guy. So, and I think we're up to speed on our brush with celebrity.
Hey, did you guys happen to see the story about the Ford CEO, Jim Farley?
Yeah. He gave his first speech, right, to the all the Ford employees.
Chris Farley's cousin. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you talk about what a hack it was? this Hackett guy has screwed it up so bad. I got a lot of work to do.
I'm going
to
be your hero.
He is Chris Farley's. He's related,
His cousin, yeah.
I think he gets really annoyed when people bring it up, and he does sort of look like him, doesn't he?
He does. He's got the, the hair, the nose.
Yeah, I forgot. Maybe somebody at Ford said that he really tries to downplay that.
Really?
Yeah. That is correct.
Can't you use all your tools? I mean, it seems like
God damn it! It might get a little tiresome. I mean, he's been gone for 23 years. Or maybe he loves him so much he cries every time he comes up. It's his kryptonite.
Yeah. I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
I wish he would talk that way when he's speaking with the press or when he's doing a show or something.
Yeah.
He's like,
he's got nice
I'd
hair.
Like to introduce you to the new Ford F-150.
Blah, 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 blah.
I think he would keep his job at least an extra year if his performance was poor.
Best $200 I ever spent.
So South Park had their pandemic special, an hour long. Was it like an hour and a couple minutes, maybe?
Maybe just a little bit over, but it was an hour. They put out, too, I don't know how many people saw this, but Comedy Central put out a little making of and how they pulled it off during the pandemic.
Really?
Remotely, and it was really cool. But one of the things I noticed is just you forget how much money they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just signed that $500 million deal with HBO Max.
Wow.
So they're like, here's all the stuff we're sending to our animators. And it was a row of like 50 big computer rigs, and they show the animators setting it up in their house, like triple screens, just all that stuff so they could work from home. Wow. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. And they did a hell of a job with it.
Well, I'm trying to think which part I loved the best. There were so many. The beginning of the show, I thought the first 20 minutes were just
here's my favorite part.
Funny.
Welcome, parents, to this all-school town meeting to talk about how we're going to get your kids back into the classroom. Can everyone hear me okay?
It's a Zoom of, honestly, 25 people.
So we've made some amazing adjustments and hirings, okay? We believe we can welcome students back on Monday, okay?
How are you going to do this?
Yeah, what happens when my son is sitting in a room with Craig Tucker, whose father doesn't even wear a mask outside?
Oh, here we go again. Stop mask-shaming, Starch.
Well, it's really not a mask if you wear it down around your chin. That's a chin diaper.
There's no real proof that a mask even f***ing does anything.
Spoken like a true redneck.
Oh, f*** you.
Okay, I just muted everybody, okay? Now, if we don't get along, I'll just sit here with you all on mute. Okay, now let's try this again.
I saw Wendy's mother not wearing a mask in the changing room at Ross.
The f*** are you doing spying on me in the changing room?
Okay, boom! You're all muted! Okay, I can do this all day! Now, we've made changes at the school, and we feel prepared to welcome your students back!
I think my favorite part of that is there's a real hidden joke in there, too, because every character has their name, you know, for their Zoom thing, except for Kenny's mom, where it just says iPad 45683 because she never entered a name when she signed up for Zoom. It's just a really subtle joke.
I like the Randy and Mickey Mouse interaction. Oh, my God, is that fucking funny?
Especially since it's the callback from last season.
Yeah.
But when Randy says, you know, that his wife can't find out that he's responsible for the pandemic. Anyway, it's like 7:50 in.
Farms. What do you want, Marsh? I'm in the f***ing weeds here.
Look, do you remember when we f***ed that bat in Wuhan?
I f***ed a lot of bats.
Well, I've only f***ed one. I remember right after I got really sick, and this was all back in October.
Jesus Christ, you f***. You started all this!
You told me to f*** the bat!
You didn't quarantine yourself after you got home!
Nobody knew anything about COVID when I f***ed the bat! I thought I just came back from China with the flu!
Look, we can't let scientists find that bat! My wife is crazy. If she finds out I started the pandemic, she's gonna be a total bitch about it.
So great.
And then 9:05, Mickey gets another call from Randy.
I think that was the
was that the
that's the one at 9:05.
Oh, were there just two? Oh, that's what the one I said. Okay,
yeah, because then they go break. I love the idea too that Cartman wants to go back to normal, which is him sitting in his room, everybody staying home.
And the way he took advantage of the way Zoom freezes, so that he puts a picture of him froze himself. The best.
Randy's pandemic weed special was really funny. You know, I was thinking about too though is when. Wait, it was when Randy's wife says, "Well, my brother Jim is really sick," and Randy's like, "Oh, he's such a drunk. He's sick all this. He'd be in the hospital anyway." Which is what a lot of people like to say about people who are really affected by COVID. Oh, they're totally compromised. What the fuck? Who cares?
It covered everything. Yeah, it covered every angle of it.
It even covered the whole idea of police, and the police get, you know, they leave the force because they're not funded, and they become the teachers in South Park. And then they run into a trouble because, you know, the guy says they don't have enough resources
to do our jobs.
Everyone is terrified.
So the mayor wants to get them the resources, which is really easy to do because now they're teachers. And the resources are tanks and rocket launchers.
Now, if we had some of that stuff back.
Yeah.
We certainly don't want you teachers to be without every resource available. I'll write an executive order to get you everything you need.
Boys?
That's not the crew.
Back in business.
Back in business.
So, and Token getting shot and then explaining that it's because of COVID.
That was great.
It's because COVID.
Token is nowhere near what they're shooting at. They're shooting at Cartman. Cartman's been tackled in his little glassed off area. And they just won't stop fussing around, so they shoot him, and they hit Token, who's like 10 feet away, the black kid.
Right.
The black kid named Token. The
black kid.
And they also come across this kid.
Oh, they light this kid up,
COVID
too.
COVID exposure at 4 o'clock.
COVID exposure at 4 o'clock.
You there. You are violating a mandated safer inside order. Put down the snowball and get back to quarantine. We've got a runner.
The animation on this.
They just murder a 12-year-old.
They know how to just take these things that are going on in society and really turn a mirror back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was laughing out loud quite a bit. I thought the first part was, I mean, the whole thing was funny. It was brilliant. They strung it together really well. I don't know why. Randy,
there's no
anything surrounding Randy is just gold.
No better character.
So, Randy, you want me to give you a hand job in the bathroom?
No, on another.
You got a mustache.
Oh, my God.
On another entertainment note, this weekend, I didn't realize this is the weekend Saturday Night Live starts back in studio.
Uh-huh. With not all of it is, though, right? Not all of it.
I don't know. It's not all. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Chris Rock is going to be, I guess, doing his monologue there. Megan Thee Stallion, ironically. I mean, she just got shot in the feet.
Yeah, that was a couple
months ago. Or she lied about being shot in the feet.
That was a couple months ago.
By Tory Lanez.
She'll be fine.
Well, she's certainly the subject of a lot of conversation. I mean, it's a great time for her to be on SNL. And what better host could you have than Chris Rock opening the season? And mm-hmm. I really feel like they need a great host because the pandemic shows.
That
I just didn't.
Eek.
I wasn't very entertained by him, but you know, I suppose some people were.
Tough to do. No crowd, though, right?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I guess not.
I like what they've been doing though with Bill Maher's show and Jimmy's, where they put a few staff members in. So at least it sounds like there are people there.
Yeah,
I think it does help to have something, some kind of reaction.
Yeah.
Now Fallon's is weird because it's like six people laughing. Yeah. You know, at least the other ones, they put a little bit of canned laughter underneath, maybe people who are actually there. But when you have like six people, all the jokes seem to fall flat because you got a couple guys just going, ha, 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 ha.
It's weird how
Fallon can't get his staff to laugh at him, possibly.
It's weird how comfortable Colbert is without the crowd. Like, you've seen some of it, Drew, haven't you?
I think he's a natural. I really do.
It's tough to do. Like, he doesn't care if there's a crowd there or not.
It's also worth noting with SNL, I forgot about this. Jim Carrey is going to be a regular this whole season.
That's right, yeah, because he's doing Biden.
He will play Biden.
God, that's incredible.
Because cast members aren't allowed to play people anymore.
Yeah, what is up with that? I mean, that's really strange, isn't it? I mean, you can't complain if you're on the cast. I mean, it's a launching site to almost anything, but it is really quite a switch that they will no longer have cast members doing that stuff.
That's what
Will
they said.
Ferrell's George Bush was great, and I loved Dana Carvey every time he played a candidate. You know, it sucks.
Dana Carvey to me gets more talented every time I see something he did back on SNL, and you know, I don't know what he's up to now, but I'm sure it would be great if we were allowed to see it.
Yeah.
And the Dana Carvey show thing, the documentary on Hulu. I hear people send me something about that maybe every three
so
weeks
great.
Or so, just how awesome
that
show
is
should
so
have
great.
Been.
Yeah.
As we step into the fall, oh boy, I hate that word. The team at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event, and as you can imagine, it's going to be off the hook, of course. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered, starting with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. How about a new 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month? If you need a truck, then go lease a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. How about pure performance poured into an SUV that drives like a sports car? That's easy. Lease the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And no Zot spot is complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your perfect specs. Get the details and surf the massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And how about, Dr. Yaldo. Yep, still doing it. He's back, just like Dr. Roche. And these guys are busy as people are seeing this as an opportunity to not only get something done when maybe you've got more recovery time at home as opposed to going to work immediately and people go, oh, my God, why are you so bruised up? You know, or doing whatever annoying things people do at work, you can do it at home. And then there's the discount, too, $1,500 off the regular price if you mention Drew and Mike to Dr. Yaldo, whether it's the LASIK, the custom topography-guided LASIK, the most precise in the world, allowing you to throw away the contacts and glasses and see better than you ever could with them. Or if you're over 45, it might be multifocal lens replacement. It'll have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. And $1,500 off. In fact, if you can get another person in there and they get surgery, you'll get half off yours. So that's a pretty good deal. Get an evaluation, 800-398-EYES, or go to Yaldo Eye Center and tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. So there. I was kind of putting this off, but I can't help bringing it up because it's such big news today, and I don't want anyone to get the idea that I am in any way, shape, or form making fun of or taking any enjoyment out of this, because I'm not.
I know you.
Chrissy Teigen lost her baby, and no matter how you feel about anybody, at least I used to feel this way, that most people or all people were this way. I'm sure somebody is probably trolling her online.
Oh, yeah.
I'm guessing. Yeah. Are they really? I mean, is that for sure?
Yeah, because there's a lot of people, obviously, who see her as maybe a product of the left. So there's actually, I've seen a bunch of people who are really big into politics kind of going after, which is weird.
I mean,
guys like Mark Dice and stuff like that. But then I've also seen like Jason Whitlock, who just kind of asked why it needed to be on social media, and he got pounded for that.
Well, he asks a very good question that I would not ask on social media because, you know, I mean, I know you get pounded, but I don't think he's asking a ridiculous question, because if you look at the pictures, which I didn't try to see, I didn't go, oh, my God, I want to see. Are there pictures of her miscarriage? I mean, honestly, I would never do that.
Yeah.
But everywhere I looked, Chrissy Teigen, you know, has miscarriage. And the story was that in spite of bags and bags of transfusions, it just couldn't happen. And of course, it's terrible for any woman to go through that. But then there's these artsy black and white pictures, not taken by her, not taken by John Legend, of them holding each other and crying.
Yeah, there's one in particular where she's just crying and in tears, and it's
without a top on.
Oh, yeah, it's funny.
Well, she's not wearing a top.
I didn't even realize that. But I gotta say, I don't know who would want that moment photographed.
But you also would have to have a professional. I mean, someone's taking the picture.
Yeah, I don't know if it's professional or if there's a. I mean, these phones are pretty good now.
But who took the picture of her and John Legend? It's not her or John Legend.
No, I know. That's what's odd about it.
There's another one from overhead. Did you see the one from overhead?
I'm looking. I just saw this one, really. Like, I just don't know.
Well, that looks like it's from overhead, actually.
Oh, it's on TV right now.
Yeah.
I believe it's on TV right now.
I mean, can you imagine?
No. No. Mm-mm.
I mean, you have to at least. Nobody came in there and took those pictures. They had to have asked them to take the pictures. Is that what he's talking about in the story?
You want me to back it up?
Yeah. I don't know what he could say that would make me think this isn't strange, but.
Well, so how far along in the pregnancy does anybody know? Brandon shoveling food into his face.
I want to say 3 months.
Yeah,
3 months?
Maybe.
Wasn't that far along.
No, it wasn't that far
along.
Are
you supposed to tell people you're pregnant that soon? And
it depends.
Isn't this the reason why?
Certain people do, and certain faiths believe that you need to, you know, not talk about it. Yeah.
Teigen is opening up tonight about her heartbreaking
such a horrible thing.
See, this is Click City now because there's pictures.
Chrissy Teigen's Twitter post just after midnight this morning was heartbreaking. Driving home from the hospital with no baby. How can this be real? On Instagram, intimately personal photos from her hospital bed, her husband John Legend at her side, the moment they held their lost child. We are shocked and in the kind of deep pain you only hear about, the kind of pain we've never felt before, Teigen wrote.
That's revealed. She was holding.
Yeah.
Well, that baby is.
Yeah.
It's bigger than 3 months.
I know.
On social media on September 5th, telling fans she was on bed rest. Then this week in the hospital, in sharing the loss, they're shining light on something so many families experience. Up to 1 in 4 clinically recognized pregnancies.
Here comes the newsy parts. Yeah,
see, pictures. They're going to tell you why this is so wonderful that they did this.
How brave she is.
And I, you know, I'm not going to really argue with anybody about it. Because I just don't want to, because it could be taken the wrong way. But I really feel...
It's awful. We all know it's
They
awful.
Answered the question. They just answered the question you're asking, Drew. The reason why that she had to come out the way she came out is because she is out in the open. She is all over social media, and she's already been chronologically going through this process. All of her fans, all of her followers.
But she did. We didn't have to see pictures of her with the.
She could have just put a
miscarried baby and with John Legend crying. I mean, that's not that. We don't have a right to that.
No.
She could have said, you know, this is the, and again, I really don't like telling someone what to do, but.
We all grieve differently.
It seems a little like it would be a lot of clicks, just saying.
I don't know why you would want.
Trudy, you're a pretty skeptical person.
Trudy, yes. Some people are saying she was never pregnant. What do you think?
Oh, no, I don't know that I believe that. I think that's
what some people are saying.
Harsh. But I feel like people let others into their personal life too much. That's my point of view from the very beginning. We're like, you got to do more social media. You got to do this. You know, there's always this pressure to do more. And I really think that is a private thing.
Was this something where they really were like, you know what, this is so painful, but we've got to share it because people will relate to it and it's going to help them go through the same thing eventually? No, it wouldn't help. Why would it help anyone else?
Maybe because
they go through it themselves and they know how horrible
it is. Because
it
normalizes it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand it because I would never want to be in that position to share. Yeah. That's a pretty intimate thing. And if she ever complains about people violating her privacy, it's like, well, you kind of have just put it out there, so almost anything's okay now.
Well, she's complained about that because people were suggesting she's part of a pedophile ring, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit. But that, I mean, it just seems insane to me. If, you know, maybe they're sincere, and that's why I said I really don't want to be in a position of criticizing someone who's gone through this. I just thought it was so strange to see very professional, very artsy pictures taken of the both of them crying that you know they didn't take.
A publicist, possibly, do you think? Or
it's
maybe
a professional photographer or a
really
publicist or I don't know. Maybe it's a family member.
Knowing her, she might have one. And I'm not joking. She might have one on retainer.
Yeah. But I feel like somebody like her, she feels as though everything about herself is part of this social media. So that there's no way she cannot put this out.
Did she have to put out pictures, though? Couldn't she just say that, look, I'm so sad, yeah. This is what
it's
happened?
It's like the I'm nothing without my followers girl. Should they have, there's a psychological, you know, like addiction to it.
Yeah, it's something like that. I feel that there's a dysfunction going on, and how do you criticize someone at a moment like that? Well, I don't really want to do that, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know about this.
It's unusual. It's very unusual to share something like that. And it's so personal.
I think I'm stuck on the motivation. Did John Legend really want his picture taken while he's crying with the?
He probably would. Yeah.
You continue to feel that he's.
I want him on a lie detector immediately.
He's a prisoner of this situation. He is not.
He's always available.
Also, yes, he's available once again.
Yes.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Here's a line from a Washington Post opinion piece on it.
Mm-hmm.
Tegan and Legend have turned their greatest sorrow into a communal strength. They've given those who haven't directly shared such pain an opportunity to practice kindness and bravery, to look at what may be hard to face in some of the best of ourselves, and comfort those who are grieving. I don't know anybody who saw that and felt that way.
Yeah, I don't know what
if
else
anything,
to say.
Because it's her, she's almost inviting the trolls to attack.
Yeah. Well, I think the only thing to do on
well, then you get sympathy points.
Yeah, there's all that warmth goes to Christy and all those likes and retweets and nice comments. But I don't think there's any better way to follow this story up because it's a difficult story, except with something completely that's going to turn the tide 180 degrees, and that's we allegedly have John Wayne Bobbitt's new phone number.
Oh, I know. This is so exciting, and he's in the news again.
What the hell happened?
He may need his foot amputated due to he got an infection. How did he get the infection again?
Diabetes.
I would
did
guess.
He cut? He cut his foot.
Did Lorena cut it off?
Yes. Was she available to cut it off?
Are they going
to
reattach it?
Where's Lorena Bobbitt, threw it out of the Bobbitt. Cast?
Yeah,
is he too dumb to get to, like he's
Trudy.
He's got a rusty nail. He trips on the construction site and then he doesn't.
Trudy, it was at work on a construction site.
Of course.
When he did. He stepped on a nail.
Oh
what?
My god!
Yes. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
He said, "I'll take care of that."
That's okay. Yeah.
Spit on it.
I'll deal with that in years.
It's just bleeding a little bit.
Who would you rather nail?
Okay, I'll John Bob facing left foot amputation. Yes, that John Bob facing the serious reality of losing another body part, this time his left foot.
Did you see the picture, by the way?
Yes.
The hideousness of that foot will haunt my dreams forever. It is.
Why did he take a picture of his foot?
Sean! I know. Why didn't you take a picture of your dick when it was cut off, Bob?
I guess, would Chrissy Teigen have done the same thing? Maybe.
No, I'm mad at Bobbitt for putting that foot out there.
John tells TMZ he was working construction in Buffalo in 2013 when he stepped on a nail, which went through his boot and punctured a toe on his left foot.
2013?
It became infected a couple months later. Bobbitt says he got treatment at two different hospitals, but a doctor later diagnosed him with osteomyelitis, an infection of the bone in his left foot.
If we get a hold of John, we got to get him to pronounce it.
John has been aggressively treated with antibiotics, but the infection never fully healed. Now he's back in a hospital in Las Vegas. He's in Las Vegas? Why is he in Las Vegas?
That's where he lives.
I know, but why did he move back to Las Vegas? That's not a good idea for him.
Goddamn shoes.
Bobbitt says doctors telling him the bone is so infected they need to determine whether or not to amputate. He's got his fingers crossed for the left foot decision, especially because, get this, he already lost a toe on his right foot last year.
Bobbitt.
What the fuck? What's with him and body parts?
It was infected after an accidental cut.
Oh, Bobbitt.
Jesus.
Okay, so let's find out. Is it really John's phone number?
Bobbitt.
Do we have a song for him? I'm trying to think. I mean,
cuts like a knife? Cuts like a wife?
There's so many.
My ding-a-ling.
Where's my dick?
I think
where's my dick?
Three songs for him of the parody variety, but there's many, many songs that work with John Bobbitt.
Slices.
Give me a second.
You know, I used to work with a woman who got something like caught under her finger at work. She was a maid.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the same thing. Like, they pulled it out, but it got infected, and it stayed infected for the longest time. So that's, I guess, I've heard of that.
Does this one work?
Footloose? Yeah, why not?
Going off the board. I don't think this number's going to work.
I don't know. This guy's pretty confident. He may know it's us. I'm going to be so pumped if you...
Hello?
John!
Hey.
Hey, John, it's Drew and Mike's show in Detroit.
What are you guys doing, man?
Been looking for you.
Yeah, we've been looking for you for a long time, and then I saw today in the news that you were in the hospital, and we're like, oh my God, we got to find out if John's okay.
Yeah, just stepped on a nail.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
Yeah, 7 years ago.
And what, just kept getting worse and worse?
Yeah, improper patient care, lack of care, lack of misdiagnosis and all this stuff. And so, like, okay, well, because I was going through the VA, you know, and that's when Obama was still president, you know?
Oh, man. Do you think Obama is partially to blame?
Yeah, because a lot of veterans died under his watch. And
I agree.
A lot of poor health care in the VA system. So
yeah, no, it's terrible.
Until Donald Trump signed a new bill in to have and let the veterans go to any doctor they want, then that's where I'm at now. I'm in a private hospital.
No, maybe Trump can help get this better and get you better treatment. But I'm going to say,
yeah, you should
got to put Obama, what, like 30% fault, would you say?
Yeah, because I had osteomyelitis. They were treating me for foot ulcer. 3 years and they couldn't
diagnose
me properly.
Is this an Obama phone?
Yeah, it sounds like you're on an Obama phone.
They could have went in
there we go.
And cleaned it out like they're supposed to. Let's say if you had like a bone infection in your bone, Drew.
Yeah.
The normal procedure is diagnose you right in the first place.
Sure.
And then they would go do it right the first time, right?
Well, if
they would go in and do a surgery, a simple surgery to get to the bone, and they'll clean it out. You know what I mean? They'll take,
right.
They'll scrape it. And put some antibiotics.
If you go to a doctor, maybe
of your choosing.
No, they didn't do that because you were forced to go use certain doctors in the system because of Obamacare, and that's terrible.
Yeah,
so, you know, I hate to say that. It doesn't really matter whose fault it is now, but clearly it's a lot of his fault. And that sucks.
Then they sent me to a different doctor for wound care and hyperbarics.
You had a hyperbaric oxygen chamber?
Right.
Whoa.
Like Jackson? Michael Jackson?
Yeah,
wow.
I guess. I don't know. But anyways, this new doctor, you know, she took a scalpel and she created two different wounds on both my feet. And it got infected.
Wait, she created wounds?
Two different wounds. Because she did read my ulcer and on my toe. And then she would also debris the calluses on the bottom of my foot and my toe. and she cut too deep, and it started bleeding.
Was her name? So, is her name Dr. Lorena?
Yeah, so I think she was. I think she knew who I was, and she was one of those radical, you know, man haters.
Yeah, feminazis.
Well, this is another Obama doctor, right?
I didn't realize how many women out there that really hate men.
I know, it sucks. And to think there's that they're in occupations where they can really hurt you.
They're silent. You don't know who they are.
You better stay out of the hospital because they're taking you apart piece by piece, John.
I should have married you.
Aw. We were together right there at the altar.
Yeah, Trudy's seen your penis.
Yeah, I should have married Trudy.
John, you remember showing your penis to Trudy?
Yeah, she should see it now.
Yeah, so you can see how it changed.
Have you sent pictures to anybody?
Well, I think I got myself on a high protein diet, and my testosterone levels up the roof, man.
Oh, Johnny!
You'd be a really happy woman if we got together.
Really? There should, John. I think there should be a dick pic sent to Trudy immediately.
Really, like, wow, I can't believe it. John, but I'm more into romance and love and
that's sweet.
And monogamous.
No, I remember you clearly. Your history shows that.
John Jeremy, man, now he's in trouble.
Yeah. What about that?
Wait.
Yeah.
Why are you going to get in trouble, John?
Ron, John.
He's got 13 more churches.
Ron. Oh, man. John.
I dated a girl that's charging him with rape.
Have you talked to her privately and said, hey, listen, what really happened?
Yeah, she married my brother and had two kids with him.
What?
Because she still dated Ron Jeremy off and on, and her name's Charity Hawk. And I think what... Somebody mentioned her
supposed to be named
on one of those news stations.
Yeah.
And she was one of the women that came out.
Did your brother know that she'd been mistreated by Ron Jeremy?
Yeah. What's going on with Ron Jeremy? Is this like an attack of all these women? Is Me Too motivated by the Me Too movie? Because I know Ron.
But wait, John,
you never forced a woman.
John, you know Ron, but you also know Charity, so you believe Ron over Charity?
Well, Charity's a narcissist. Hmm. You know, she's just a radical feminist, and she's full of hate and greed.
So, I mean,
what it's about is that you get a professional clinical psychologist and have them analyze it and diagnose all these women who are coming up with these charges, and find out that they just have an ulterior motive, trying to get money or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in that, being assaulted by Ron Jeremy.
Lorena, she's on a smear campaign,
I know, I saw she had a documentary. I refuse to watch it, though, because I know it's all going to be BS.
Yeah, I watched the docuseries. It's all BS, and it's all fake.
Oh.
They tricked me into doing that docuseries instead of, they were doing a documentary. They it was... poor Lorena's. I said it was untitled. I said, okay, we'll do the untitled documentary for you.
Did they pay you for it, John?
Yeah. No, I get paid for a lot of things I do.
I mean, I thought you should have. You should have been paid. Yeah, I mean, we certainly would pay you.
In Detroit. Or just free T-shirts. Or the Riff Rock Radio T-shirts that I got. I raised your price closet.
Absolutely. I think you need some new T-shirts, John. We'll have to get your address.
Trudy will be like, come on, John, let's go.
Let's get the T-shirts and get out of here.
All the stuff we got.
Now, John, I want to clarify one thing, because you acknowledge that you did show your penis to Trudy. There was amazing curiosity about it. Trudy, I think, wanted to see it. It's pretty clear. But there was another time, I think you were in anger management class, and you got in trouble for showing your penis to people in the class. Is that that happened, didn't it?
I got in trouble a lot because people wanted to see it. I even got fired one time. The boss pulled me in his office. You show these guys your penis? We were listening to a radio show, and one of the radio stations were talking about it.
Oh,
they're like, really?
What?
All right.
What, they thought that was like a work violation or something, showing them a medical marvel?
It wasn't, they wanted to see it, right?
Right.
Yeah, you didn't force it on anybody.
Yeah, guys see each
other's... I had it made bigger,
What?
Yeah.
What?
You got the fat injections, and you got the ligament cut, too, right?
Right, the ligament cut extended, And that ended up becoming too big.
Wow.
So I would date women, and it was just too big.
Did you have to reattach the ligament?
I wouldn't be have. I wouldn't have been able to have sex with Tootie. But you know, I went back to the same doctor, the reconstruction, and he reduced it. Now it's normal.
Wow, how, John, that's got to be exciting. That's got to be exciting, though, going in for penis reduction surgery. Just the sound of it is like, my penis is too big. That's so cool.
Yeah. I was dating this girl, she's a real cute Italian girl, but she was, I think she was only like 4'9", you know?
Yeah.
90 pounds. She was a real petite.
Spinner. Yeah.
She couldn't handle it, man. You know, but she tried.
John, are you single now?
I'm dating him. You know what I mean?
How many?
I'm kind of got a relationship with this girl. She's a nurse in Long Island.
Wait, where?
32.
Well, that's long distance.
In Long Island?
32.
She's 32 years old?
Older than that.
She's 32.
John, is 30. What's the 32? Youngest? What is the youngest girl you would consider having a relationship with?
I was just with a girl in Daytona for a couple weeks. She's 29.
A couple weeks.
And did you feel like you could relate to her at that age? Because, you know, you're over 50 now, right?
Yeah, she's you know, pretty intelligent young girl. She has a 8-year-old daughter.
Oh, she had an 8-year-old daughter? That reminds me. Yeah. How is Drew? Have you heard from Drew lately?
Yeah, Andrew. Yeah, Andrew. Williams. He goes by Drew. He goes by Drew now. Yeah.
No, we've talked about Drew, and I know you guys had met at the gas station at one point. It was a little bit of baggage there. I don't think you got it all sorted out at the gas station. But have you spoken to him much in the last couple of years?
No. He's almost 30. He's almost 30 now.
Wow.
That's amazing. Are you guys getting closer, though, or are you guys starting to work
on? No. Just, I live in Vegas. He lives there, and we're Facebook friends, but we never talk.
Okay. How long have you been Facebook friends? You had an anniversary yet?
About 2 years.
That's good.
Would you send him
there, and I'm down here, and, you know, hopefully someday we'll meet.
Yeah. If he got married, for example, would you send a card?
I'll probably go to his wedding.
Oh, would you? Okay, cool. And he would invite you?
But I wouldn't have an invite.
Oh.
That's a shame.
So? Now, I don't want to be a wedding crasher, you know?
Some people are saying that his mother got in the way of your relationship with Drew.
Yeah, that's she's the cock block. You know, she blocked the relationship. I'm going to say,
John said cock block, I think.
Did they say cock block? I didn't say that, but she probably has a lot of animosity toward me, I guess, because I left her and went to Lorena, and she really wanted me to be with her.
I think she was.
When we went back, to do the paternity test, we were in court. She was bawling, like she really
was bawling.
She was crying because I showed up with a Playboy model, you know.
Wow. Now, was that for child support?
Yeah, child support, yeah.
And you kept up with child support payments, didn't you?
Yeah, I gave her one lump sum.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
It's like $100,000.
$100,000? That's a lot of money. Do you think she made out on the deal? Some people are saying.
I was advised by my attorney to turn. You could go either way. If child support case or a paternity settlement. Since we were just dating, we barely knew each other. It was a child paternity settlement.
Now, was that
like when you hire a surrogate mother to have a kid for you, and your wife can have a baby?
When you guys had sex, you were not hoping to have a baby, were you? I mean, it wasn't like that.
No. She basically raped me.
What?
Because I was bouncing at a nightclub, and it was my birthday party. We had a party there, and she, girls coming on to me and stuff. And his girlfriend, and we were drinking. I passed out, and she's bouncing up and down on a pogo stick. You know
what?
While I was passed out. So
This is your old penis, right?
I was working out every day, I was like super fit,
But your penis was not what it is today.
Well, it's it works just as good as it did when I was young.
But it wasn't. It wasn't as big. You had the fat injections. You had the ligament cut.
How's your penis work? How's your penis working?
Yeah,
it works fine, John. But I'm just saying, you have a superior penis now.
Same thing with a girl. A girl's, gonna function, normally and healthy if she takes care of her body and she's eating healthy. Same thing with a guy.
Right.
You're eating healthy. You're eating a lot of good proteins. You're gonna stay functionally, sexually,
You were in excellent shape at that point. Were you? Was this someone you were really attracted to? Because I remember thinking you said that maybe.
Yeah, she was pretty. She was in the fitness modeling and stuff. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, she was a fitness model.
Yeah, she was a fitness model.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought Andrew's mom was a little on the heavy side. I thought maybe you might have said that at one point.
Yeah.
No.
No. Oh.
So, was there a chance of rekindling it? I mean, was that ever in the program?
No, really. I wanted to move out of New York, and I don't want to stay in New York or the East Coast because, one, it's just, I didn't like New York, don't like New York now, the way it is,
Yeah.
Lorena lives on the East Coast, so I distanced myself with no contact because, I didn't want to be anywhere near her. Got to Vegas, and been out here ever since, 1993.
And Vegas has worked for you. I mean, you've had a great life out there, and there aren't so many bad influences, maybe, that could be negative.
You clearly weren't happy with the Lorena documentary, but 2020 did a big two-hour thing. Were you happy with the way that went?
2020? Not really. I mean, I should have had a discussion with Amy Robach before the interview, and she didn't want me to see the questions, all that stuff. So I sat down, and I'm trying to explain to her all the details of what happened and why she did what she did. She really didn't mean to do what she did to me. She wanted to take it back because she thought I was out having an affair.
Yeah.
At the Holiday Inn, because that's the last thing I told her when I was sleeping. She wanted to know where I was. And to make a long story short, the first place we went to was the Holiday Inn to watch a live band. They weren't there, so we left. So, she was nudging me, and I was sleeping.
Right.
I really wanted to go to sleep. I was so exhausted. Hmm. We went to Denny's, had breakfast.
Wow.
What's their alcohol at Denny's?
I was still drunk.
That was stupid. They really twist things.
Yep.
Well, I didn't know how that narcissism worked back then. I didn't know how they just take things and twist them and leave important facts out. You know what I mean? Hmm.
So, John,
she got mad and got a knife. Told her I wanted a divorce 4 days prior. She was supposed to be moving out. She didn't move out.
See, I didn't even know this.
She didn't want to move out. She wanted to stay married.
John, I'm glad you're breaking your silence on this because I didn't know you had asked her for a divorce.
Yeah, I told her I wanted a divorce. All the transcripts.
And then you wake up in the morning.
All the important facts and details are in the transcripts. And then I was out all night,
Right.
Come home and she thought I was having an affair. It had a lot to do with this girl that hit me on my bicycle on a wedding anniversary, which was Friday's before she attacked me.
Oh my God. Wait, what happened there?
So I get hit by a bike and I have my penis cut off one week.
What? Oh my God.
The last thing I heard when I was sleeping, is a big grunt and said, I heard her saying, damn, this thing's heavy.
We need a rim shot.
He's still got the jokes. Yeah.
That's
great. John.
John.
And then the cops were looking for it. And they couldn't find it. They were sitting on it. It looked like a log, up there in the field.
I thought you might want to
create it onto a flatbed. Hey, over here, baby.
Where's a rim shot?
John, I just came up with some new material.
Those punchlines they still work. What can I say?
Yeah.
The other day we were talking about trying to find you, and I said, I'm just imagining this, waking up, and your penis is gone. You're bleeding like hell. Now you've got all this military background, so I'm sure you sprung into action. But me personally, I think I would be more worried about where is my dick than about living. But did you, I mean, was it hard for you to worry about staying alive as opposed to where the fuck is my dick?
The fucked up thing is?
Oh, no.
That's about, that seems about right.
Wait, John. John, we can't really.
Where's my dick?
For some reason.
Where's my dick?
We can't really hear you right now. You seem to go into some sort of weird treble mode.
Can, yeah.
Yeah. Can you repeat that?
There, yeah, that's better.
Can you
repeat
what you just said?
Well, I'm in the hospital. They got the machine going.
Oh, okay.
But, John, when you woke up, were you as concerned about where's my dick?
I got to tell you this. You know, when I sprung up and I found myself bleeding and there was nothing there, I thought Freddy Krueger did it.
Really?
That's what I thought.
Really?
Yeah, I thought this big old hand came up from behind me through the wall with blades and it cut it off. So I was sleeping. I'm like, oh my God, I better not go back to sleep. Because it'll kill me.
Horror movie. Wow.
That's what I thought. Because, you know, Jason and, you know, Freddy Krueger are big then.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I watch it. I don't like watching scary movies, but I don't, for some reason I watched it, and here I am. But fucking, you know, that's why I don't like scary movies.
John, in spite of Obama, do you think that your foot can be saved?
Yeah, they're working on it.
They are working on it.
That's good.
Good. But what would you say as far as Obamacare? Would you say that because of Obamacare, you are in this situation like many others?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we got that straight. Got you on the record. Man, I don't know why that phone is getting so weird. That's crazy.
The machines at the hospital.
Yeah. Well, John, I know you
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I hear you good. I hear you good.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah, you sound great. I'm surprised.
We're on Obamacare now, right?
Yeah, yeah, and what Obamacare has done to you and many others.
I don't have Obamacare.
Yeah, because you're a vet.
Veteran, yeah. And, you know, so you have
to pay what Obama's done to you. Pardon me, John?
Drug prices are high.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, Trump's cutting all that down by not going through Big Pharma.
He hasn't cut mine down.
So you know, you're going to pay a lot less for your prescription drugs.
That's right.
Through Trump, and you know, through his health plan is going to be a lot better.
Sounds like John should have been at the debate the other
night. Thank you.
John, have you ever?
Yeah, I think because he's been a smart businessman for a very long time, he can make
you
know, everything better for us than Biden can. Can't do that. Negotiate like Trump.
The art of the deal.
Have you ever thought of reaching out to Donald Trump? I mean, he likes to help people that reach out directly to him.
Well, yeah, well, because, you know, I think, you know, when I went to the trial, Lorena was a Democrat.
Of course.
And the prosecutor was a Democrat. Or Democrats.
Well, I mean, he would know you, too, now. And to know that you're such a big supporter.
Yeah, of course, everybody knows who John Bobbitt is.
He'd appreciate
that. Oh, I love that person.
Is Michigan red or blue?
Well, Michigan was red in 2016.
Blue in 2018.
Now it appears Biden is leading in Michigan, but it's closer than it was. It looks like it could be close. Hard to tell at this point. But I think, John, it suffices to say that if Trump had been president from 2013, when you got injured, till now, you probably would not be in this position.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, what can you say about that?
I hope it gets better.
Well, you know, I think it has a lot to do with narcissism. You know, I know I never knew what narcissism was until I discovered, oh, no wonder why I'm getting in all this trouble, you know?
Because
I'm trapped in a relationship with narcissists. I dated women that weren't narcissists, and the experience was great, you know?
And how do you tell if a woman is a narcissist and you're going to go off in a bad relationship versus somebody who's not a narcissist and it'll work? Can you tell? Is there some early sign?
Well, not really. I mean, you know, it has a lot to do with a lack of empathy and all of themselves, grandiose and all that.
And John's been working on himself.
Different forms of narcissism with grandiose, covert, overt, malignant, and cerebral narcissist.
Wow, are
you afraid that you're attracted to narcissists in general?
Well, I'm always wanting to help people.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think there's any, realize there's no way of really helping a narcissist unless you're a professional, you know.
Yeah. You know, well, it sounds like you almost are a professional, John. I mean, I can't believe the way you broke that down. But the question is, you said you think that narcissism is what got you in the position you're in. And I'm not sure I understand that because you said
domestic violence classes and my domestic violence class, lady told me the reason why I'm getting in trouble is because I don't go through that application process to get to know the person thoroughly before engaging in a, you know, like Trudy, if I want to have a monogamous relationship with her. I got to find out everything I know about her. You know, I'm going to cut my penis off.
Oh,
John, I think you would have skipped a lot of that to be with Trudy. I really do.
John, where were you tonight? You better not.
I'm not like that, John.
You better not.
Not at all. No, you get to be your own
You're
person.
You're my man, and that's it. Look what happened to Travis Alexander, you know?
Oh, with Jody Arias.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel fortunate that that didn't happen to you?
Well, it's kind of the same thing, same scenario. You know, she stalked him like the man stalked me.
Yep.
She was very possessive of the guy. He was top shelf.
Yeah.
She wanted him.
Cool guy.
He was a Mormon. He had Bible study. He had that legal service that he was involved in. He was pretty wealthy. He had a nice living. And she wanted to be with him. But, you know, they broke up. He met some nice girl, just graduated, some really classy girl.
She was hot, too.
And he bought an engagement ring for her. Mm.
Did you ever see her nude pictures,
Travis,
John?
I didn't know that Jody found out.
Yeah.
John, did you ever see
he bought an engagement ring with this girl.
Did you ever see the nude pictures of Jody Arias?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I'll go visit her.
You want to go visit her?
You could. She's not too far.
John, I think that's
not from there, but you guys, they're up in Detroit.
Yep.
If you,
I want to visit that guy that got his penis cut off and his wife threw the garbage disposal.
Oh man,
where was that?
Orange County, California.
Now, can they rebuild him something?
Kathy Becker, she got convicted, 17 years of life.
Support group. Yeah.
Huh?
Are you part of a support group?
Well, I think the cases are, that I've studied. You know, there was like 17 cases before mine in 1993, from 1836 to 1993. There's 17 cases that reported.
Wow, John's an expert.
The women had actually cut their husband's penises off, and then afterwards there's like 170. There's 170 copycat crimes because Lorena got away with it. So all these women got the thought of, you know, cutting their man's penis off.
The only reason
why women do it that I discovered of every case was two reasons. One was abandonment, and the other one was infidelity, or a combination of both. They're leaving the woman, or they're cheating. Mm. And I was leaving Lorena, and she thought I was cheating.
But you were not cheating, right?
Those are two reasons. No, I wasn't.
And you weren't abandoning her either, John. Because you had tried everything. You had tried to put this thing back together. You told her that.
She was giving me the silent treatment at the time. She was very cold. So I said, okay, I'm done. I want a divorce. That's what it was. And that's a form of narcissism.
You had no choice.
Abuse. Yes.
What does that mean?
We got cut off.
My bad phone.
Yeah. the silent treatment is a form of narcissistic abuse. I mean,
I feel like I'm in class today.
I know, with Dr. Bobbitt.
Partner off, too. Trudy?
Yeah. Yeah, John.
So that's what happened. I said I want a divorce.
Right. You know? And she couldn't accept it.
Right.
So,
well, John, you were a Marine in tip-top shape at that time. You were on top of your game, and she didn't want to lose you.
Yeah.
Right.
And she didn't want anybody else to have it either.
Working penis in great shape.
Yeah, Marine. She doesn't all the time. Said that she didn't have an orgasm. That's why she cut my penis off.
So you were sexually satisfying her?
Yeah.
So in other words, she said, if I can't have John's penis, nobody can have John's penis.
The penis is supposed to massage the vagina. That's all I know.
John,
it's designed for.
No, it is. It is. You're right. The friction is perfect.
Yeah.
You're an expert on penis physiology now, too.
They complement each other. The, you know, vagina is supposed to do the same thing.
Isn't that nice? I mean, yin-yang. It's beautiful.
you got to be in some sort of loving and caring and romantic relationship, though.
Yes, not like
works out better that way.
Yeah, yeah, John, right. You're gonna have to really like work Jeremy on your just, approach with Trudy.
Over and do them, you know.
John, did Lorena?
That's why I think Ron Jeremy is so much trouble because he don't respect women.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
but
he just bends them over and does them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure, John. You sound like you were defending him earlier. Have you kind of taken a different?
Yeah, I was, but I was talking to Suzette out there at the Bunny Ranch, and he convinced me otherwise because she has a lot. She has
okay.
a lot more intelligence. She warned me about, you know, it wasn't getting sound too good.
Yeah, that's. Well, that's
I kind of stepped back on.
Okay, no, I appreciate that, John. It's hard. Yeah, it's hard with friends.
I can't defend him. Not knowing that.
Can't details. Understand a word.
I can't defend him without knowing all the details and facts.
No, exactly. You got to be analytical
about it. Study that up, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Make observations.
I was jumping to, you know.
Because you said you didn't think Ron could do anything like that earlier when we were speaking to you, and now you're saying that you think maybe it did happen.
Right. When I knew him back then, that was a long time ago. But maybe he's changed into where he's been so callous to doing what he's always done to women, like a porn star.
Yep.
Like he's on set all the time, you know? Hmm. So he goes out to these clubs with these girls, and, you know.
He thinks somebody's just supposed to sit on it.
The adult films are all, it's all over with, the filming, and everything's done online now, so.
Yes, that's true. John, we got to get to some commercials here, but I'm so glad we got back in touch with you, and I want to keep abreast of what's going on with you in the hospital and make sure that you come out of this thing okay. Would it be okay if we call you back in a few days and check on your condition?
Yeah, I guess I'll still be here. I have no discharge papers yet, so.
Wow.
I don't want to leave.
I understand.
Well, I hope your foot's better.
Yeah, John, I hope it works out okay. If not, we're all going to go after Obama.
Yeah.
And make sure he pays for this.
Detroit, me and Trudy go on a date sometime.
John, you are so in.
Just choked.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, John.
All right, brother.
We'll talk to you soon. Right. We'll talk to you real
bye,
soon.
Trudy. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Great guy.
But he has a girlfriend, Trudy. It can't happen.
Well, if I can't have him, then she can't either. Off it goes.
He's also a great person.
He's good a great spirits. Guy. He's in wonderful spirits.
Oh, he was in good spirits. I mean, considering?
I thought his foot amputated? Yeah.
I thought he's doing really good.
He's gotten kind of analytical.
I know. He's clearly been in therapy for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's really, it's really sunk in, too. How in the hell? Oh, Johnny B. Johnny B.
Where's my dick? Where's my dick?
It's got me wondering. He said that his brother was married to the hedgehog's ex.
Yeah, but it's true. I looked it up, and it's been reported.
Is that David Bobbitt?
Yeah, you know, that's it. Why don't we ask
him? We have David Bobbitt's number.
Yeah, why don't we ask him that? Yeah, the story I saw just gave her name and said who is married to the brother of John Wayne Bobbitt.
Is she hot?
You know, there wasn't a picture of her.
Are there some good no wedding pictures?
There was no, not in the story I saw.
I'm sure John was best man.
Well, he could have married them.
I wonder, do you think Drew would have been at the wedding?
Unlikely.
I have to say, I'm officially disappointed in John. I don't feel he has made enough of an effort. He
gave her $100,000 to take care of that kid. What else do you want?
I agree. Looks great. He did have, that was a lot of closure, the $100,000. That was officially closure on Drew's youth. But, I mean, Drew's an adult now.
Oh, this girl's like, cute. Let's see a picture of her.
Let me see.
Oh, yeah, she's very cute.
So that's she's Drew's mom?
No, this is the one that said.
That's married.
One that's been with the hog. It is now with John's brother.
Oh, boy.
I didn't realize that John's brothers had leaked into his life.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Gross.
Leaked into his life. I mean, I thought they were just like living normal buffalo lives.
Yeah.
But judging from the, you know, there was something in Mrs. Bobbitt's voice that was just very upset in general. And that might explain it. That it was more than because originally it was just like, John, yep, you can reach John at, and she'd give you the phone number. And then it seemed like as time went on, she sounded a lot more put out.
What a crazy life.
I wonder if she was excited that their son was going to marry.
She has a grandson?
Somebody who'd been with Ron Jeremy.
Yes.
And have babies.
Exactly.
Through that.
Oh, man. Gross. John has evolved on Drew's mother, too.
Yeah.
Because she was.
Now she was hot.
She was a hog.
Maybe he was just lashing out back in the day.
I think he was. No, you're right.
He was just trying to trash her because of the whole situation. And now he's grown and he accepts it.
John has very good taste in women. I have to say, they're always pretty.
Except they're all narcissists. What are the chances?
Now, how does he blame narcissism for him stepping on a nail in 2013? Because he did say that he would blame narcissism above all else. And Obama.
And Obama, yeah.
Well, oh, I know, because he stepped on a nail and the doctor knew it was him.
Yeah, she cut too deep.
And that's what it was.
Right. And is an angry doctor that doesn't like men.
Angry women, yeah.
Well, he's got
women.
Heck of a lawsuit. And this lawsuit's going to make his agreement with Drew's mother look like nothing.
I have his number now, so I don't have to keep texting that 14-year-old.
Who's now like 16.
Pen pal.
And needs therapy.
Okay, well, I want to remind all of you to call Luke Nowacki if you're interested in strategy on investing, if you want to make a financial plan, which hopefully you should, hopefully you will. If you haven't done it, it's never too late to call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748. He's got to give rational financial advice because Charlie's worked with Luke, and Charlie wanted Luke to help his mother.
Yeah, he helped her a lot, he said.
So he must, I mean, if Charlie would allow his mother to work with Luke, he must trust Luke. Well, I trust Luke, if that means anything. What does coronavirus mean now? What does it mean 6 months from now? What does it mean 6 years from now? What about this election? Do you have money on the side? Are you trying to decide where to invest it? When? Do I wait till after the election? I mean, there's millions, a myriad of questions. And Luke is one of those people that likes to answer them and likes to put his ass on the line. And including wondering what investments your company is in, your pension funds. Call Luke at 248-663-4748.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
That was awesome.
Water's everywhere in your home, leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, under the dishwasher, or maybe there's a foot in the basement. And maybe there's mold left behind after you drain the basement or after Emergency Response Services Incorporated drains the basement. Call 877-JOB-DONE if you have an emergency like any of these scenarios, or rain damage, fire damage, storm damage, or maybe it's COVID that you feel is lurking somewhere in your work vehicles or your workplace, or maybe any place you want to have a safe event or lifestyle of some kind and you just want to be safe. Emergency Response Services Incorporated does deal with COVID and what's the word for de-COVIDizing or...
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, okay. 877, job done. Put it in the fridge, because if it's an emergency, you probably want to call Emergency Response Services Incorporated. 877jobdone.com is the website. And Trudy, to tell you all about Dr. Roche.
Dr. Roche has all kinds of October specials that start now, as a matter of fact, and run through the 31st. And that involves getting your body tight for the fall, including Evolve, which is body contouring. It's trimming, tightening, and toning your body. 6 treatments of Evolve, 6 treatments of Zerona, and 6 treatments of Virtue. That in itself, $5,800 normally, and it's a $2,500 special in October. Also, liposuction and a lipotight special, $500 off one area, so that you can tighten up in all those areas where it counts, and $3,500 saline breast augmentation special. All the other things, including CBD products, which are non-GMO, top quality, made in the USA, 25% off for pain. And you can also glob up HGH, which Drew and I both use. It helps with hair growth and sexual prowess, and makes everything feel better, and your joints feel better. So Get to them with a consultation at 248-338-1110. They'll do it over the phone. You can do it in like a half an hour on your lunch break. And Evolve, by the way, is like 45-minute to an hour process, which is great because it makes a lot of difference in people's contouring.
45 minutes.
And it's non-invasive. So you can get in, get out, and six of those. I've lost an inch of my waist. So
And the HGH, jeez.
Yeah.
Don't let Bobbitt know.
It's pretty sweet. So give them a call, 248-338-1110.
Before the show, we were sitting around talking, and I said, hey, Trudy, I decided to look up and see if I could find a number for Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, did you get excited. Because I said, I want you to call. He's not going to want to talk to me. But I thought maybe that if he was in the area and he'd answer the phone, that you could convince him to come by the podcast, which is incredibly unlikely and will never happen.
Oh, he would do that. He totally would.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know if he would.
Oh, we could tell him we need to talk all about single-use plastic and... saving the world. And
but no one wants to hear that.
I listen to him talk. It wouldn't matter what he says.
Single-use plastic. Remember when everyone was up in arms about plastic straws?
Yes.
On both sides, yeah. And then COVID hit.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
And no one cared anymore.
Just want to know all about that and what, you know, surfing and stuff like that. I mean, just hot stuff that he does on a daily basis. Sure.
It is fun to look back on the trite stuff that was happening before there was a major event like COVID.
Right. Yeah.
And I always remember on September 11th. Do you remember like that? What that big story was that summer?
No. What was it?
Big story was shark attacks. And then 9/11 hit, and it was like, oh yeah, who gives a fuck about sharks?
Yeah, sharks are always good for a news cycle or two.
And they pop back up in the news cycle, too, because with the COVID vaccine, they might have to use a bunch of shark livers and kill like a 500,000 of them, to which I thought, okay, and?
People love the sharks, and they're environmentally important.
I don't care.
It's not just Shark Week. It's Shark Week.
Oh, God. I'm not arguing that sharks serve some sort of purpose, but I would rather get rid of the coronavirus if it meant getting rid of the sharks.
Sure. The thing that's so weird about that, too, is that they were like, oh, because people aren't in the ocean, sharks are, you know, like all of a sudden they're...
Well, they can learn how to adapt,
they're
too.
They're pulling up closer to get the people who are just paddling around in the shallow water.
Oh, so it's more dangerous. I'm not going to... I'm not going to entertain that in my brain.
And Brian, do you even know what you did to beat off the shark?
Wouldn't that be annoying if they're like, well, we can't make any more of the vaccine. Like, say it works 100%. It's great. Can't make any more because we can't kill any more sharks.
We have to save the sharks.
Fucking break.
That would be.
Do you want me to try Momoa again?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Because Drew would never let me try it. Well, now he's coming back. I was pretty confident in it, though.
He just posted some video tour of Detroit.
It's still off. I got a number for Jason Momoa. And I was going to have Trudy convince him to come over to the podcast.
He might.
I'm not joking. I'm very confident that it's his number.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My God. What is he here doing?
Hanging out.
I've got to know.
No, he's got to be shooting. I think he did something with Rocket Mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, hey, that's right.
So Lenny Kravitz is his... What relationship
it
are
would
they?
Be
he's
his
married?
Wife's ex-husband.
Cousin. Right.
Yeah. So he has an investment in that place, the Temple downtown.
Oh, he does? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Temple Hotel?
Yeah, the
infamous Temple Hotel.
I think the renovated new.
Not that one, not Mickey Redmond's Temple Hotel.
The Temple Hotel.
Is it called the Temple? It is. Yeah, that thing that they've renovated and
there's
it's
a
like,
new Temple Hotel.
I have no idea.
The Temple.
Well, the place that we used to make fun of was called the Temple Hotel, and that place had a long, shady past, and it was allowed to go into disrepair, horrible disrepair.
Do you remember the one fun fact about the temple?
I wish I could.
It had one bathroom for everybody to share. It was one of those places.
That's right.
It was a really skanky hotel with one bathroom.
It was tricky to be at the Temple Hotel. There were a lot of things you had to negotiate.
You know how funny Mickey thought that old
temple. Mickey was so amused by the temple, and he'd driven by a million times, of course.
I think that's why he was amused, because it was right by where the new arena is now. Yeah. Whatever happened with that dumpy house that those guys thought they were going to make a killing on?
I don't think they've sold it.
It's just sitting there, right?
Yeah, I think
they got fined a bunch from the city, and they just don't care to do anything with it?
Well, there was a fire, and they never repaired it. They never brought it up to code. And the roof, so they got hit with all these fines, and they kept raising the price, too, like they had the Ilitches by the balls. And I think the Ilitch family proved to them that,
around it.
You know what? You only have one buyer, and if you're going to be like this, then you're not going to have any buyers, and we'll let your stupid house sit there in the middle of this entertainment complex till the end of time. I mean, what a bummer. And there are people who have suffered this fate before.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. What, you mean not in here, but in other places?
Yeah. There's a tiny house in Atlantic City that I think is like between a couple giant casinos or something, or it's in the middle of a parking lot, and this old lady wouldn't sell.
Didn't that happen in Seattle, too, with a giant mall they were building, so they just built the mall around the one house?
I don't know.
And that was the inspiration for the movie Up.
Oh, is that right?
I'm not joking. I think
it is.
Down
on Rotten Tomatoes.
And then Up is a great film.
Who's in Up?
It's a cartoon. It's one of those Disney.
I'm not familiar with it. Ed Asner.
Yeah, that's right. Now in China, when that happens, they just move the people out.
He is, though. He's redeveloped his Kravitz design company.
Knock it off, Lenny.
Redesign the Standard Accident Insurance Company building. So there was a story in Men's Health. I was grossing Mark out before the show with Lenny. Look at Lenny's. He's 52. Look at his abs.
Get off.
Pretty amazing.
The story you told is that
he has to take so many steroids to look that way, but other than that, it's pretty cool.
Jealous.
Listen to this ridiculous story. He goes on vacation, and what does he do, Trudy?
It's like, so he's just going to go to Australia and go on tour, and so he's like, I think I'm just going to go to my island in the Bahamas first, just for a little, refresh before I go to Australia.
Wait, he has an island?
Totally relatable.
He has an island. Eulithura? Anyway, he's got his Urethra? Place on the island. Anyway, in the Bahamas. So everything is shipped off to Australia, and then COVID hits. And so he's trapped on his island with a few pairs of jeans and a weekend bag, and that's the way he's been spending the last 5.5 months.
Really?
Just hanging out.
Seriously?
Yeah, probably smells, by the way.
So yeah, there's holes not in smell. Those jeans. Kind of no like, one... Look at the computer right now, Trudy.
He looks hot, though. With the holes.
If you liked his stomach, you'll love this picture of his balls.
She's seen that one. His wiener. Pants with his dongs hanging out, and it's pierced.
Your balls are leather showing.
Amazon can't reach his little island? More blue jeans and T-shirts?
No, man, he just goes with it.
Yeah, no, he doesn't want to. I want to wear a shirt. That's his excuse. He's
I want to see this island.
You're going to stay there?
No, I just want to see it. I just want to see what he's done. I mean, does he have some giant compound?
Your balls are showing.
No, actually, they said he was in an Airstream trailer, because he never expected to be parked there for months.
Fake.
So he just built a house.
Fake. Oh, he can build a house, he can't get new undies.
He doesn't need them.
He'll sew them himself from scratch.
He doesn't wear them.
So incredible.
He sits next to the ocean and, the ocean.
He doesn't want plays new guitar. Clothes.
He's also got a book out, too, so there's a lot of Lenny Kravitz activity.
It's called Lenny for Your Thoughts?
Lenny for Your Thoughts. Stupid. Yeah, I'm going
to
get it.
I don't know how to quite get into all this, but I felt I was really onto something today because there were just so many things going on that were just so wrong on so many levels. And I'll start with the thing that I thought started the day on a good note, and that was that they caught the guy, the 24-year-old Michael Frederick, who had put gunshots through a couple of cars owned by the Hall family in Warren, and had graffitied their cars with, what did he put in the cars? Was it
Black Lives Matter, and then no, not welcome, and then he put a swastika on there.
Then he wrote pedophile. He misspelled it on another garage.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching him. Did you see his arraignment?
No.
I read about it.
He's just blabbing away, and the judge is kind of telling him to shut up. This guy seems so clueless to me. Actually, let's see. It's on. If you go to the new news today, I believe they have it right at the top of the news.
Oh, yeah. He looks, he's got a bit of a dipshit look there.
Yeah, he looks like a pretty major dumbass.
Four or seven, doesn't matter.
Seven new news. I think I recorded it.
Once again,
the
victims, did you see the woman talking about it?
Yeah, classy lady, totally classy. And, the nice thing about this story is that she and her husband, as scared as they were, and they had every right to be, I mean, this person shot I think they shot a window of the house, too.
Yeah, or threw something through the window.
They were completely buoyed by all the people who contacted them and told them how sorry they felt and, you know, how terrible this was. And the tipster who led to the arrest of Michael Frederick refused the reward.
Wow.
Because he said, I can't take $3,000 for helping someone solve a hate crime.
It's great.
I mean, it really was a nice story.
It's admirable.
And Mr. and Mrs. Hall, you know, in addition to, I felt just really acting, just being the way anybody would want someone to be who goes through this. I mean, they were naturally upset, but they also, they felt the love. And they were very, I mean, it ended up having not a happy ending, but I mean, it certainly had a nice side to it. And additionally, Mrs. Hall, this black woman who's been completely maligned by this racist act, she said she felt sorry for his parents and that she wanted to forgive him. And she said all the right things. It was like, wow, can anything ever happen this? Can anything else ever happen this way?
Yeah, here's
where someone really wants to de-escalate something.
A black family, his neighbors today, Michael Frederick Jr. facing a judge. He's now officially charged with ethnic intimidation and gun crimes. Police say he confessed when he was arrested. He also discussed the events in court,
if you notice.
Even though a judge warned him to stop. So let's go live to the courthouse in Warren, where 7 Action News reporter Jim Kurtzer is standing by. And you've been looking at these startling statements and the judge's reaction. Jim, what can you tell us?
Yeah, you're going to hear those for yourself in a minute. Warren police have been all over this since it happened almost 3 weeks ago, tracking down this suspect who lived only a couple of blocks away. But take a look. The Hall family, a black family, was attacked 3 times last month. A rock thrown through their front window. Tires slashed on 3 vehicles. 6 gunshots through their car, as well as the home, including the front window where the Black Lives Matter sign was. The bullet recovered from the sofa. The people were home at the time. Gunman caught on neighbor's surveillance video but was wearing a mask. Another neighbor gave police the tip that led to him and then turned down a $3,000 reward saying he didn't want to get paid to end hate. The defendant and the judge speaking this morning in court discussing bond.
For this, I just want Mr. and Mrs. Hall, is that talking about the case? I want them to forgive me, Judge. I am extremely regretful of what I did.
No, you're extremely flip about it.
I can say it's not like me. I acted way out of character. This wasn't about the color of anyone's skin.
Huh?
Mr. Frederick, but using violence, whether motivated by race or politics or hatred or acrimony, I don't care. That is not what America is about. We have enough problems.
I agree.
You're right. He doesn't have any shoulders.
No, he's and he's just so completely moronic about it. He has no idea what terror he's caused these people. And I want to be forgiven. It's like, why don't you say you're sorry and sound like you're sorry first? And speaking of not being sorry, I am so pleased that the Hall family, this seemed to sort of tie. It wasn't one of those things where, you know, oh, my God, we have to move tomorrow. They sound like they want to try and rebuild, and they made a lot of friends, and a lot of people reached out to them, and they really appreciated it. So it was, I mean, there was a lot of good in this story. Go to Fox 2 last night at 10:26, 45. It's probably not the story you're thinking of,
because
the Hall of Shame was great.
It was a fucking home run.
Go to this story first. It's, okay, this girl and her new boyfriend, she puts him up to attacking her ex-boyfriend with a baseball bat. And the ex-boyfriend was hurt really badly. He was left for dead, I think, in a body of water. And watch how unapologetic this girl is. And I just love it when judges go,
Judge,
fuck you. We're not taking that bullshit. And he really socks it to her. It's about 26:45, I think, is where the story starts. Just an incredible story out of Lyon Township.
Serious issue, shallow thought on this story. Did you notice the judge's Zoom background was like a island getaway background? Which
I didn't even notice that.
And they always make such a big deal about dressing up for court. You know, you got to show respect. Like Cardi B was in court the other day, and she had like a tie on, and she was all dressed up because you're supposed to respect the court. And here's a judge with an island background on Zoom. It really made me laugh.
A woman who cut her tether and did not show up for the original sentence date for assault with intent to murder, a Northville resident, Alex Mollick, could not avoid Judgment Day any longer.
I am human and I did make a huge mistake.
On Wednesday, Jessica Kropinicki faced a judge and Mollick, the man who considered Jessica his girlfriend.
I have scars on my head and one visible hearing aid.
Kropinicki and her boyfriend, Christopher Simons, were accused of attacking Mollick with a baseball bat in a wooded area in May of last year in Lyon Township, and then leaving him in a body of water to die. Mollick says injuries caused by that attack have dramatically changed his life.
I feel as if certain parts of my brain internally don't function anymore.
But as Mollick gave an emotional victim impact statement, the judge was disturbed by Kropinicki. Nikki's behavior.
Kropinicki, every time you laugh, every time you shake your head,
that's the judge's
that's another year that's being added to your sentence.
Let me back it up because you got to hear what he says. But yeah, Trudy, laughing in that background is appropriate.
He's too low in the picture, too.
Gave an emotional victim impact statement.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can say.
Kropinicki, every time you laugh, every time you shake your head, that's another year that's being added to your sentence.
I'm not laughing because of that. It's just I'm nervous.
But before Kropinicki spoke further, her attorney worked to lessen.
Did you notice that judge muted her right when he said that? You can tell by.
Was run on the batting gloves and the bat, and there was no DNA of my client.
Pause for a second.
Who's that guy?
Batting gloves.
That's the attorney for the girl.
Yeah.
And I can't help thinking because he's saying that her DNA isn't on any of the batting gloves. Her DNA isn't on this. Like, kind of like she's got nothing to do with this, even though we know she does because it's her ex-boyfriend and it's her current boyfriend who did the swinging.
I would assume the ex-boyfriend identified her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But would you need batting gloves to swing a bat to hurt someone like you do when you go to the plate?
You need your grip, for sure.
You're gonna be able to have the most appropriate swing.
You think they did the big poppy thing where you tighten each one?
Yeah, I think he's getting a little carried away with the batting.
What do you think? Just they got a stance?
I mean, what does he have? Does he have pine tar too before he did this?
Did he have a donut?
Did he have a donut? Yeah.
To warm up?
Good God. Anyway, yeah, cleats. This guy tries to make it better and doesn't.
The gloves or the bat. There was DNA of her co-defendant, Mr. Simon.
But the prosecutor and victim fought back.
It's a life sentence for Alex. It didn't begin and end on May 4th, and he's all better now.
I'm not revengeful towards Jessica. I just want justice served for her actions and role in this savagely violent assault.
I would like to start off this as an apology to the courts, and I would also like to apologize to Alex and his family for that very tragic incident that happened to him. Forgive me for not helping when I was in a panic during all of it.
That seems sincere.
Not moved.
I'm very disappointed. It's a sentence of the court be sentenced to the Michigan Department of Corrections for a period of 180 months to 360 months. With credit for 298 days, sir.
And Sal Field. Ingrid Kelly, Fox. Ha. 2 News.
Stupid bitch.
You fucking bitch. You know, I am so fed up with tethers. She cut off her tether and didn't show up for the sentencing. So they had to go find her and drag her in there so she could show how unapologetic she is before she was sentenced.
I know.
But fuck her. Why is she on a tether? Because her attorney negotiated. Oh, she's not a threat to anyone. Just put her out there on a tether and everything will be cool. No, bullshit.
I know. She skips out on that. And this poor judge is clearly on vacation and he has to take a break from his vacation to preside over something. Now it's good for her.
I want to know.
Shut up, bitch.
I want to know, what is the percentage of people who cut off their tethers? Because if it's more than one-tenth of 1%, it's too many.
Oh, they slide them off. I mean, there's YouTube videos where they show people how to slide your tether off, out of it.
It must be easy because people do it all the time.
And all the time. Tethers are ridiculous.
People who've committed horrific crimes, and I'm just sick of it.
We need Bill Gates to implant a chip in these people.
Damn right. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Instead of everybody.
So, yeah, there was a lot of
fucking Hall of Shame was
really interesting.
This was Walchek at his best.
Yeah, Walchek is going after a guy he's already busted in 2018 for. He's the fence king or something. what does he call himself? Oh, he changed the name of the company because Walchuk busted him in 2018.
And now I have to change it again.
Yeah, that's what he said. He changed it from any fence to flawless fence. And the funny thing is when Walchuk says, yeah, instead of any fence, it should have been, I didn't get any fence.
He had an answer for every answer this guy came up with. He's like, you can follow me to Menards. You can follow me to Home Depot. I'll show you. There's no fence parts available. And then Walchuk rolls film from the day before the guy putting a fence together with Bart.
Oh, I know. He's such a dick. And, you know, as much as Rob busts these people, and this is the second time for this guy, he's like Paul McCartney's in the Hall of Fame twice. This guy's in the Hall of Shame twice. And he just fucks people over, and nothing happens, and he just does it again under a new name. He changed his name, too.
I forgot we were bearing the lead that Rob mentions right off the top. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that he threatens him by recording his phone and sticking it in Rob's face like, I'm recording you while you bust me.
Rob goes, I'm on television. I can't record me on Facebook.
Ooh, Jason Valuette's got a camera phone, and he's going to put me on Facebook Live. I guess he thinks this is going to freak me out.
I think you're intimidating, dude.
I'm not intimidating. I'm trying to get some answers from you. Jason is making his second appearance in the Hall of Shame because once again...
And of course, he rolls B-roll from the first appearance, which is the worst shot of the guy's belly sticking out. He's scratching his big fat beer belly.
When's the last time you talked to her?
I don't know. I'd have to shut off Facebook Live and go to the...
Okay, well...
Oh, yeah, and you can't stop recording Rob right now.
As long as you want. Something's never changed.
What a dick.
Left the spit in the piece.
This is Pat. In May, the owner of Flawless Fence came out to give her a quote.
What did he say his name was? Jason?
Jason Scott.
Jason Scott had contacted Pat through Facebook.
He also said he was going to do a quick job. He promised me within
That's
2 weeks.
That's a great name.
Pat signed a contract and gave Jason Scott one third down of her $2,400 fence job. But by July, the job wasn't even started yet.
He, said that he can't get the wood. All of a sudden, he can't get the wood. He didn't know this in May.
Pat demanded her money back, but didn't get it. Found out the Flawless Fence address was old and realized Jason Scott's name was a fake. Her contract was signed by Jason Valuette.
So I said, this has got to be his name. So I looked that up on the internet, and I got your story.
Yeah, I put Jason in the Hall of Shame in 2018. Back then, Jason's company was called AnyFence, but it should have been called I Didn't Get Any Fence because customers told me Jason either took their money and didn't do anything or took a deposit and started a job, asked for more money, and then never came back
Asshole.
To finish. He gave out some lame excuses about the failed jobs.
Well, they say they gave you $5,000. You came in, put in some posts, and then you didn't finish the job.
We never finished a job because we got threatening calls from them.
Here's another. He was supposed to replace a seawall. He started and bailed because the lake was too chilly for him.
We up all the bricks.
Yep, he got in the water and we brought all those out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then you never came back.
Idiot. The water was extremely cold.
Plus, I confronted Jason about his felony criminal record.
What, so you can never do the job?
Not if the water's warm enough for him.
What's it got to be, 80?
Apparently. Aluminum foil and drain. Bill Nye, the science guy, taught me that.
Yeah, back then, Jason.
Oh, pause that.
He got busted with a
Molotov cocktail, so he blames Bill Nye, the science guy, because he taught him that.
That's a sad story.
None of the gate was done at all.
Nope. It's Jason Valuette. So what do you think about a guy like this?
I think it's horrible.
Aaron and Jeff hired Jason Scott to put in a fence. He did. At least most of the fence. They paid him the balance right before he put up the gates and hinges and...
He just failed and you never saw him again?
He just faded him out of the picture like he disappeared.
Claims. Did you get him served?
Nope, they couldn't find him.
Couldn't find him. Yeah, that sounds like Jason.
Aaron and her husband filed a small claims complaint. Pat filed a criminal complaint. What's Jason got to say? Let's find out.
Oh, it's a great
Jason
excuse.
Valuette. It's your old pal Rob Walchuck.
Oh, he's with his girlfriend.
Get in the truck.
The same old scams again. The fence scams.
What scams? We're going to do this again.
Okay. Pat, lady in Hazel Park.
All right.
Like $860 or something, you took a down payment?
Okay.
Well, what happened with that?
I'm waiting for her to go to court on it, actually.
Well, why don't you just give her the money back, Jason?
She has a $50 cancellation fee. She has a return stock fee of, I think it was $65. She refuses to pay that. She can take me to court. and then we'll do it that way.
Ooh, this is where Jason's going to turn the tables on me. He's fumbling with his camera phone. What's he going to do?
Why don't you just pay her?
Oh, you edited the hell out of it last time, so I want to make sure that everything is, you know, piece by piece.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care.
Why don't I do what?
Why don't you pay her?
Not sure why Jason thinks I care he's taping this or putting me on Facebook Live. I'm a TV reporter.
Why didn't you just do the job?
Because do you want to really be honest? She's a little pushy. If you go to Menards, go to Menards right now. Go to Home Depot right now. They don't have fence pickets in stock.
So
I would have taken him up on it.
No well, he knew he was lying, though, because he had the footage.
That's funny because just a couple of weeks ago, I got video of a guy who had some fence pickets. He's got fence wood. And look at that. It's Jason Valuette. Of course, he doesn't know I have video of him with fence posts and pickets. And so he's sticking to his story.
You want to drive to Home Depot with me right now? I'll show you there's no fence pickets in stock. Want to go to Menards? There's no fence pickets in stock. Want to go to Lowe's? There's no fence pickets in stock.
So none of this is your fault.
Now I mention Erin and her husband Jeff's job.
You didn't put up the gates. You were working the job, you asked for the last payment, and then you bailed out on them. That's what they said.
I tell customers, don't give me a last payment until the job is 100% done. Ooh. That's what it says.
Okay, well, he did give you the last payment. I got all the checks.
All right, well, his gates were hung, so, okay.
So, okay, what?
I don't know what happened with
his gate. Why is this guy calling me, telling me Jason Valuette? In fact, he's been trying to serve you in court. He's taking you to court.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, because he doesn't know where you live.
Well, you found me pretty easy.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
God.
I'm an investigative reporter. He's not. Flawless fence. So you changed the name of your company.
Thanks
to you. Nothing like service.
Yes, I did. Thanks to you.
What do you mean, thanks to me, Jason?
Because the very
don't
last...
Don't blame me for you getting in trouble.
Well, don't blame me for the last time that you ran my story, which a Fox 2 Problem Solver story runs for 4 days, 3 times a day. You ran mine once. I came back and said the truth. And then, boom, the story... disappeared.
I have no idea what Jason's talking about.
Another great retort by
Walchek. It's still online all over the place. In fact, both Pat and Erin figured out Jason's real name and Googled it, and presto.
We found the story from a couple years ago.
And what'd you think when you saw it?
That was exactly what we experienced, and that was him.
Jason's got a lot of beefs about me. Here's one of my favorites.
You blocked me on Facebook.
Here's another gripe.
So you're still running your flawless fence? That's your new company?
Well, yeah, it's new now, but I'm probably going to have to change the name again because some guy like you wants to come and f*** the little guy instead of taking care of, you know, somebody that, you know.
Well, you fucked the little guy.
Big companies that screw people.
Well, you're the guy that's effing the little guy because Pat and all of these other people are just people who want fences, and then they can't get their fences done because of you.
How many more times is he going to change his name?
Pat, I guess until he either starts doing the right thing or I stop doing stories
Pat
about
Giles?
It.
Okay, Jason, we're done. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, off.
Okay. All right.
Ooh, now Jason's really going to burn me.
Bye, Felicia.
Goodbye, Felicia.
Oh, powerful.
Oh, my God.
Just do honest work, man.
What a clown. You know,
fuck.
And these poor people... It goes round and round. He does it in 2018. He probably did it in 2016. He's doing it in 2020. Yeah. And, you know, he's also been busted for home invasion, for felony larceny, I think. Let me get this right, because this guy's pretty specific. Home invasion, felony assault, I'm sorry, and a possession of a Molotov cocktail, and he rips people off. Repeatedly.
Yeah.
So why is he walking around? Because all this guy does is gives people shit. Yeah. I mean, isn't it just insane the way Rob keeps dealing with these? And some of them, it's the same ones over and over and over.
He does his work, man.
Oh, God. Tiresome. Well, you know, it just reminded me of something. Charlie LaDuff and No BS News tomorrow. Charlie is talking to one of the, I believe it's the leader. Yeah, he's hoping this could always fall through. But most people won't hear this till tomorrow, so I'll just let it out there. Charlie is hoping to speak to the top dog of the Proud Boys.
The founder. I don't know if he's still in charge of the Proud Boys, but this guy is definitely the founder and has a wild background.
Yeah, I noticed there are a few people that refer to themselves as the leader of the Proud Boys. But this guy is... he is one of the, in fact, I looked it up and the name that came up, I asked Charlie, is it this guy? And Charlie said, yep, that's him. Yeah. and he's spoken to him. He's agreed to go on, but frequently these things can fall through.
Yeah, but I was talking to Charlie today about it, and he goes, if he does fall through, he goes, I got plenty of other stuff to talk about in regards to him.
Oh, yeah. And he always has other things going on. Anyway.
I'd like to hear this guy's story.
Yeah, and, you know, how many people have had this guy on? I've never seen him on anywhere. But Charlie Diggs.
Well,
Charlie,
that's what I said to him. I said, you know, there's a lot of talk about the Proud Boys mainly because, you know, Trump and wouldn't disavow him, although, you know, I guess he said sure, so that counts. But nobody's talking about who they are. It's kind of a boogeyman type entity. You know, you hear that these guys are Proud Boys. So what is the background of this group?
And you know, I have to tell you,
start and what do they think? And
I feel the same way about Antifa. That you know somebody is
the boogeyman.
Somebody is running Antifa, or somebody is influencing Antifa. But it's very frustrating.
Antifa,
and in fact, this very topic today caused a huge problem because, you know, this is actually when I came downstairs to do the show, I was really annoyed because I had read a number of just horrible stories. To me, the gold standard is the Hall family and Warren and how they handled this dispute. I mean, this horrible thing happens to them, and they are actually reaching out and saying, we want to forgive this person. I feel bad for his parents. We met so many nice people who supported us, and the people who supported them, too. I mean, look, it meant something.
It's the vast
people that reached out.
The vast majority of people are genuinely nice, good people.
In that case, should be the case with most cases where people want the right thing to be done and they sort of band together and put their arms around each other. And it's like, okay, we're going to get through this and we've caught this guy and that's good. And, you know, I thought that was really sweet of her to say she felt bad for the parents. And I think she was totally sincere because this 24-year-old guy is obviously off the rails in some way. And anybody who's a parent knows that really, really sucks. So anyway, that story was like, wow, that's really good. It made me feel good. And then I see this other crap going on today with, let's see, where should I start? Let me start with sports because there's a 19-year-old U.S. cyclist.
Well, this is horseshit.
Named Quinn Simmons, who was suspended. And I don't know when he's going to be racing again. I mean, this sounds like a big deal. And what happened was,
it is just a suspension, but he shouldn't have even been suspended.
The journalist, who is the journalist? Does she cover cycling?
I think she does. I think she's European.
Okay.
Yeah, she's Dutch. I'm sorry. Yep.
Well, she said to no one in particular that she hates Trump, and if you follow Trump, unfollow me. And so this 19-year-old cyclist replied to her post and said, bye. And she had waved with a black hand emoji.
No, Quinn Simmons did.
Yes, Quinn Simmons did.
He wrote bye with the black hand
emoji. The same emoji she used. And so he was immediately accused of engaging in internet blackface. Internet blackface? What's internet blackface exactly?
I guess when you use emojis that do not correspond with the tone of your skin.
He was immediately suspended.
Well, there was another thing, too. I guess somebody replied to that. Apparently a Trumper. And then he just wrote, that's right, with a U.S. flag. So apparently that was just as bad. It's ludicrous.
Well, I mean, obviously, if
it's
the
ludicrous.
Fact that...
It's his opinion.
The fact that he said bye, he was saying he was a Trump supporter. And then he came back and said it anyway. And by the way, I'm not sure if it was him that pointed this out or someone else said, hey, look, if you can rag on Trump, you can support Trump. He's the president of the United States, and it's not a reason to be suspended. And the journalist, by the way, who started this by saying, unfollow me if you like Trump, she's upset that he's been banned also.
Yeah, I don't know
why. She's very upset, and she's probably going to get a lot of shit about it. And this is just the kind of mess that is so absolutely unnecessary and stupid. I think, why do you have to tell people to unfollow you? Why do you have to respond to someone like that? Why does everyone have to get the last word?
What kind of bike do you have?
Because nobody can turn the other cheek. Everybody has to counterpunch.
So then, that's not all. Then we have the, let's see, where did I write this down? It was the senator of South Carolina who said that he hoped that Trump would clarify his comments, that he thought he misspoke or something to that effect.
Tim Scott, I heard it. Yeah, he said he misspoke.
It sounds to me like maybe
which is just as bad of a problem if that was the case.
Is he a Trump supporter? I don't even know
Tim Scott?
He's a Republican.
He's a Republican senator.
Well, a lot of Republicans do not support Trump.
Name one Republican congressman who doesn't support him.
Well, it depends on what you're talking
publicly.
About. Mitt Romney.
He supports him. He disagrees with him, but he supports him.
I really don't want to get into a whole political conversation. I just really didn't know who the guy was. But I assume that he likes Trump or he's an understanding person or I don't know. Okay, so he's a Republican, so now it all makes sense. He's, I guess, backing Trump because the Republican's saying that, give him the benefit of the doubt. He ought to clarify it, which I guess he clarified it today, so maybe this guy's happy. But in the midst of all this, of him saying that he should clarify it, I think he misspoke. This Channel 12 sports anchor in Connecticut, who is white, said, "Thank you, Uncle Tom," to the black guy who said that he thought Trump misspoke. So he was immediately fired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, immediately.
Well, pretty shitty thing for him to say.
It was a shitty thing. I don't understand why a white person would feel so comfortable making that comment to a black guy.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Apparently he shouldn't have been. And I'm not really crazy about all this firing, suspending, and just punishing people. But why do people, why can't they just let well enough alone? Why does everyone have to have a voice?
Everyone
shouldn't have a voice.
Everyone wants to know what the Channel 12 sports anchor feels about Tim Scott's comments.
Honestly, it's just so dumb. Oh, boy. And what good did it do him? His career is fucked.
I know.
I mean, will anybody hire this guy? I really wonder. He looks like an older guy.
Probably CNN.
Oh, that's right. He's on the right side
MSNBC
of the argument.
MSNBC will hire him.
I forgot that part. Maybe he will. Maybe a newspaper. Maybe a radio station. I don't know. But it looked to me like a guy who probably is going to have a tough time getting restarted because, I don't know, how long he's been at Channel 12?
I didn't see, no.
He looked like an older guy to me. I mean, you don't want to be losing your job when, you're towards the end of your career. No. So then, one more. Actually, there's more than one more, but I'll just wrap with this one. There's a women's professional soccer team, and this is good because I didn't even know there was a women's professional soccer team called the San Diego Loyal, but there is. And they were leading the Phoenix Rising, but isn't that a pretty cliche name?
Loyal,
the Phoenix
Rising. God.
Come up with something else.
That's very stupid.
It's up.
I thought the Phoenix Suns
is
okay.
I don't think it's a women's team.
Naming.
Oh, they're not? I thought they were women. I thought that was the women's league.
Isn't this the one that Landon Donovan is a coach of?
Okay. I thought they were a women's league.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess not.
That's what,
incorrect correction, because I thought it was a men's team, and Mark told me it was a women's team.
I thought it was a women's league.
Jeez, Mark, learn your soccer, dude.
Well, anyway, the San Diego, it really doesn't matter to me what, I mean, it's the same story either way. Yeah. The San Diego Loyal is leading the Phoenix Rising 3-1 in the soccer game that I would never in a million years care about or even look at. But someone made a homophobic slur directed at a Phoenix, directed at a San Diego Loyal player, Colin Martin. So the San Diego Loyal, rather than play the rest of the game and maybe call him out later, they just walked off the field and forfeited. Hmm. Even though they're winning 3-1.
Hmm. Did it say the slur?
No, it didn't.
Well, I think we can guess what it is. I think Tom Brenneman knows
honestly,
the slur.
Because maybe somebody called him Colin because his name is Colin.
Oh. Yeah.
Unlikely.
I didn't really even give it any thought.
Has Pete Wentz commented since he owns the Phoenix Rising team?
He does.
Does he really?
Along with Brandon McCarthy, Diplo, and Didier Drogba, by the way. One of the great Chelsea players of all time.
Whatever.
Who cares?
Why not just finish the game?
Because no one cares about this league. I thought they were women.
But these are supposed to be professional men's soccer players. I mean, they are paid, correct? If they're professional, I would assume they're paid. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they're paid.
It's the U. They're in. I just looked up. They're in the USL, which is a step down from the MSL.
I'm so glad I know that now.
I know.
The funny thing about the San Diego Loyal is they released some statement about you know, how could we face our fans? And they showed a picture of the game. There were like six fans in this giant stands. I mean, seriously, I don't know, were there six, eight, 12 people there in this giant? I mean, it wasn't really a giant stadium. It was probably a stadium that would hold 6,000-8,000 people, but there was no one in the stadium.
The only good thing about the, what are they, the Loyals?
The Loyals.
What a stupid, stupid name, but what a great, great fight song. That's what they come out on the pitch to. And yeah, I said pitch.
I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it.
Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, I'm gonna go out jacking it in San Diego. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spiking it, jacking it, spiking it, smack. I don't need no shirt, no. Gonna take them pants right off.
He's about to jack it.
On such a bright day, who needs underwear or socks?
Jacking. Why is soccer so stupid?
God's country, and there's one thing I know. There's no better place for jacking it than San Diego. Jack it, jack it, jack it, jack.
Boring. I find
come
them
to
boring.
San Diego. There's so much to see. From the sparkling waters of Mission Bay to the warm tortillas of Old Town. And after a day of sightseeing, why not try spanking it on one of our charming city streets? San Diego, come, take a load off. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack. Whacking it, whackity whack. Spanking it, jerking it, smacking it, smack. The cars are passing me by, they honk and say hello.
Hey, that guy's jacking
from his window, there's a guy shooting video. Video of him jacking.
The soccer world, that's a big thing.
Just tell him that I'm jacking it in San Diego. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jacking it.
Let me fire that face.
Half back passes to the center. Back to the wing. Back to the center. Center holds it. Holds it. Holds it.
What a great sport.
The funny thing about the story was that I thought that it was women's. That's how in touch I am with the San Diego Loyal and the Phoenix Rising. I thought it was the women's team, and I thought, oh, I bet a lot of the players are probably gay.
Yeah.
And so maybe that was why it was a bigger offense. But what happens is when people are competing or on opposite sides, in any case, a lot of times they say things to make the other side mad or to intimidate them or to, and you know, I guess you can't call anyone anything anymore. Mm. I mean, I don't know what.
Can call it, he's a pussy. Hey, pussy.
No, I don't know. Is that would that be considered a slur to a?
That's not a traditional slur, is it?
He's a cock-a-poo-poo.
It suggests certain things. Anyway,
if there is one thing in this world I cannot stand, it is fucking soccer. All right, and I hate when people do it around me.
Do it around me.
I was just kind of curious. You know, I wonder how many female soccer players are gay. So I actually Googled it up.
The most famous ones are
and. It brought up soccer, and that story was interesting because it was saying that, you know, there's double the amount there were in 2015, which means that they're coming out. It doesn't mean that
sure,
they're, you know, they really here. Can't put a number on it. But some people are saying, oh, God, it's the majority of them, or it's 50% or it's 75%. But there's another story in there that just popped up where this WNBA player named Candace Wiggins says that 98% of the WNBA is gay, and she's very straight and feminine looking. Mm-hmm. And she said that she gets bullied because she's straight and she celebrates being straight. And she describes how toxic it is to be straight in the WNBA, which is not something we really hear about too often. But she, you know, I don't know, 98% is certainly a very high number. I don't know if it's that high, but it sounds like it's. It's very gay. And I don't care. I really don't. I mean, it means nothing to me. I don't care what any of these people do.
Do you know who her dad is?
Candace Wiggins? Is it Alan Wiggins?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, she sounded like she was a great player, but she said that she, I think she played 8 years in the WNBA, and then, why do I know this? She said she could have played a couple more, but she just really didn't get along well in the league, and she felt that as a straight player, that it was not easy to be the straight person, which would kind of tell you what it's like to be the gay person on an all-straight team.
Alan Wiggins, didn't he die of AIDS?
I think he did.
Was he gay?
I don't know.
I mean, that would be kind of ironic, I was just thinking that and wondering. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's easily Googled.
Well, I know. I mean, I know he died of AIDS. I just didn't know if he was gay or not.
I don't know. For some reason, I didn't think
so. Was he hanging out with Lasorda Jr.?
Not that I know of.
And Glenn, was it Glenn Burke?
There were a lot of crazy things going on with players back then. Like, who's the guy, the KKK guy in the Padres rotation? What? Eric Schau?
He was in the KKK.
Was he a white supremacist or something weird?
I just remember him getting lit up by the Tigers in the World Series, and he threw his gum in the dugout.
Well, I think he played with Allen Wiggins, whatever happened to him. And I think he's dead. But anyway, they went on to talk about how, and this story was not unique, but it was suggesting that women's soccer, the WNBA, and especially the LPGA, that they really try to downplay how gay it is. Why do they do that? Wouldn't it be good to find out that there's a lot of openly gay people playing in these professional sports? I mean, why is that a bad thing?
Probably because there's the stereo. They want to fight against the stereotype of it.
But isn't that homophobic to do that?
I think maybe you should just embrace the stereotype. Lean into it.
I don't think you're going to pick up
many fans who wouldn't watch it because all those women are gay.
Well, you know, people were saying things like, we want to attract, you know, young girls, you know, all young girls to come watch. And I guess the feeling is that
if they know they're all, you know,
what's the word? I don't know, dykes or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
That
parents aren't going to want to bring their effeminate little girls to see. You know, they're not going to be able to compete with these dykes.
Muff divers over there.
But they're playing sports. They're not, they're not eating each other out.
You know, I thought it was.
Why does everybody see now? Everybody sees sex and everything.
It doesn't have to be about sexuality. Why don't those little girls be? Why aren't they just interested in seeing soccer? And that's it. They don't see beyond it. Maybe.
You know what? It doesn't seem like this really works because that was the whole WNBA idea. Was these little girls are going to grow up going to see their heroes, these professional, and it doesn't seem to pan out attendance wise. Yeah. I mean, they've been going at it for a long time and they're still a charity.
Well, it's funny that, well, with the WNBA, but apparently the women's national team is very beloved, but nobody goes
and sees
the professional women's soccer team.
Well, it's because it's not the Olympics and
the World Cup.
I don't know. You know, I can't explain that because why wouldn't women support women if they're just as entertaining, but they're just women? Then why?
So women don't even like
women. I don't get it. But anyway.
Important follow-up. Allen Wiggins got AIDS from intravenous drug use.
Okay. I was going to guess that, but I wouldn't know. And then also in the world of sports, the Lakers dominated the Heat. Dominated him. Anthony Davis is just incredible, isn't he?
I mean, yeah.
How could the most, any
most valuable player on that team?
I can't imagine how anyone could beat this Lakers team. LeBron was basically doing his fullback up the middle thing, which, you know, is good for 24 points a game, where he just goes a million miles an hour up the middle.
I really think the Heat can stop him, though. They had three people get injured, including Jimmy Butler and Bam. I always mess up his name.
Adebayo.
Yeah.
Goran Dragic.
Yeah, Dragic was out, too. And those are three best players besides the maybe Hero. Yeah.
No, they are fucked. They're completely fucked. And they were up 13 points in the second quarter, and all of a sudden the Lakers went, woo! Yeah. Next thing, the Lakers are up 20, the Lakers are up 32, and they ended up winning by 17 or 18, I think. So anyway, naturally, one of the stories, because it's been a continuing story, was, you know, oh, how many people watch game one of the NBA Finals, because it's the Finals, mm-hmm. and the early reports had the Masked Singer and Fox beating ABC for the night, which would have been like, what? Yeah. But they said that after they bring in the late reports, they tend to go up, and they said that the ABC it appears edged out Fox with 5.3 million watching in the 18 to 49 demo, which is the big demo.
It's still the lowest viewership in recorded history.
Is it the lowest game one?
That's what it's saying on Yahoo.
And LeBron is in this.
LeBron, the big
marquee player in the entire league and the MVP.
Big market. I think good storyline. I don't know. Maybe there's not enough stars for the Miami Heat, but there's no excuse for that.
That never bothered anybody.
The number's down 45% from last year's game one.
Yeah, last year. Now, I was reading earlier in the day when it was higher.
Is it because it's September 30th? I don't know.
I feel like there are a lot of things going on here. It's not any one thing.
Sure.
But the NBA is in extreme denial, in my opinion, because this is the finals.
Sure.
And people like me, I'm not following the NBA during the season, but I won't miss the finals. And I watched last night.
Kind of a lousy game, but yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
First half was good.
It started off good.
Yeah.
So anyway, and the Steelers and Titans are postponed.
God, that really fucks my fantasy team.
How much COVID is there? How many cases?
They had another positive player test, I thought, today, right? So they're up to five players.
They can't play with five players out?
I don't know. Maybe three are quarterbacks. Who knows?
I don't think so.
I don't know. They wouldn't even say who it is. I haven't seen who it is. Have you, Brandon?
No, I have not.
But at least the Vikings can go back to practice.
Still, you can't next man up with five guys? I mean,
Hokies played with 23 out.
Yeah, but they also have 125 on their roster.
Five guys? They got a taxi squad? I mean,
didn't they strip down the amount of players that they had, though, at the beginning?
Because of COVID?
Just for, the purposes of having fewer people involved?
No, I don't think so. Did they? Did they strip down the... I don't think so. Not that I know of.
The bus driver who drove the Titans to the Vikings game has tested positive.
It probably has nothing to do with being the bus driver. Yeah. It's probably something he did on his own.
Well, guess what? He also drove the Astros to play the Titans. Oh, this guy's a super spreader to all the professional leagues.
Wow.
He's probably a real loud bus driver, talking bus driver. You're like, hey, what do you guys think you're going to do against the Twins today, huh?
Yeah, bus drivers are either one or the other. They're either they either got a ton to say or they got nothing to say. Oh, my.
You think you can pick out that Kirk Cousins? You guys ain't going to do shit without Justin Verlander. That boy can throw. I hope you have fun chasing Devin Cook around.
Jesus. Where did that laugh?
I don't know. That's my spread the COVID.
It's your bus
laugh.
Driver.
Hey, I just want to say this, and I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say I'm so proud of Nicki Minaj and her convicted rapist/murderer husband who welcomed their child into the world today. We don't know much about the child, but they did.
Huge ass. That's the only thing they've said.
Yep. And that's quite a combination of DNA between Nicki Minaj and Kenneth Petty, the convicted rapist murderer. It's amazing. He's like 35 years old. Wouldn't you think if you had been convicted for rape and murder that you would have a hard time being out by 35 and then pulling off a marriage to one of the biggest female stars out there?
What a concept. Yeah. You got a lot done in those first 35
years.
Got
to hand it to him.
Yeah. Now he's rebuilding his life.
And, this is so stupid. Kylie Jenner is being slammed for her child's $12,000 backpack that she wore for back to school. Stormy had a $12,000 backpack. And, let's see, what was the complaint?
Who the hell sells a $12,000 backpack?
Exactly. And did she have a price tag on it? Because I would never look at a backpack and go, oh my God, that must be $12,000. It's got to be. That's the most incredible backpack I've ever... What the fuck kind of backpack can be... I mean,
it's annoying.
What is that?
It's annoying, but that woman has more money than she can... She's Brewster's Million. She can't spend all her money, so who cares?
Yeah. But seriously, who makes a $12,000 backpack? Well, Bethany, how do you get a $12,000 backpack? I would think you would have to really scour the world to find a backpack.
I have your answer.
Expensive.
I have your answer, and it's almost so obvious I can't believe you didn't think of it. Hermes.
Oh, Hermes?
Yeah. 12,000.
Really? And Bethany, and people buy it?
Bethany Frankel is the one that outed her.
There were quite a few people that were angry. Oh, Bethany Frankel recognized it?
Yeah.
Well, how did she recognize it? She probably was shopping for it?
Maybe. She probably, it's probably the last one. She's mad.
Yeah.
Give me a JanSport all day long.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I don't need no-
it's flaunting during a pandemic and the current unemployment crisis. It's just not right. It's a choice and it's just not right.
According to you.
She also got in trouble for giving the same kid a Louis Vuitton bag.
Well, it's stupid, 11, but who cares what she spends her money on?
$1,100.
You know, I was surprised by this
that
because...
That bag sucks, by the way. It's not big enough. That backpack, did you see it?
It's a shit.
Get you a Louis Vuitton purse.
That's what good parents do.
It's a pretty shitty backpack,
it's
if you ask me.
Terribly small. Yeah, that backpack sucks. I hope the kids make fun of her.
But the reason I was just really taken aback by this, not because it cost $12,000, but because, you know, we see stuff like, who gave their husband, Cardi B gave her husband $500,000 for his birthday. He opened up the refrigerator, and they took a picture of all these stacks of cash, and they put it on Instagram. It was like, oh my God, is that funny? Look at all the cash she gave him. God. Or, you know, people who are showing off their $300,000 car. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we had a guy who was a televangelist.
Yeah.
A black guy. I can't think of his name. But he bought his wife a $200,000 Lambo for her birthday. And they did it live on Facebook or
people
something.
People love it.
I mean.
I don't know why.
So why would someone care about a $12,000 backpack?
Great question.
Because she's Bethany Frankel, and she's a jealous bitch.
And she probably bought, I bet she spoils the shit out of her kids, too.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Did anybody hear Miley Cyrus's new song today? She did a cover of Heart of Glass.
No.
It's good? It was pretty good. I mean, it sounded, actually, if you want to play it, it's available. It sounded a lot like the original, except Miley, her vocals are pretty easy to distinguish. Yeah. I mean,
is it the live version?
It says it is live from the iHeart Music Festival.
It might be live, yeah.
Did she enter it by going, I'm not going to play with my favorite Blood and Thoughts on a glass?
She did not. I mean, she just nails it, doesn't she?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's fast, too. Yeah, she nails it. Does it seem like people are more inclined to record covers now than back in the day? I mean, big artists will just do a cover.
Yeah, it's familiar.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think there's always been
the reason
a lot
I say
of
that is because so many songs were released multiple times back in the day, in the 60s and 70s. You'd have one song by like nine different artists.
There was a stretch where, yes, if you had a big hit, the next year or in the next 6 months, someone else might release the same song. But once that sort of ended in the early 70s, it seemed like it was a little more. I'm certain songs are covered over and over. It just seems, I don't know. I like it myself. But maybe it's just my imagination.
Plus, we hear every one now.
Yeah, it's easy to, yeah, that's true.
Get the stuff.
Yeah, if it's an album track, you'll hear it if you want to. Tom Petty released a song today, too, called Leave Virginia Alone, which I guess Rod Stewart's recorded. I've never heard Rod Stewart's version.
Hmm. Anybody heard it? He released it from the grave?
Yes, yeah, from the grave, Tom Petty. And it's part of Wildflowers and All, which is the Wildflowers box set. I love Wildflowers.
You wouldn't say
myself.
That to Tom Petty, would you?
And AC/DC have teased out their new song.
Yeah, that's a whole album, isn't it?
Shot in the Dark from the upcoming, it's Power Up, P-W-R-U-P.
It's an album, right?
Yep. Mm. Yeah, I have an album.
Why do you love AC/DC so much?
I don't know. I do. I really love this song.
It's, always loved AC/DC?
I have.
What was the first song that hooked you on AC/DC?
Long Ride at the Top.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And was that Bon Scott?
Yeah, I think that was, because they did like a video through the streets of Melbourne on the back of a flatbed with bagpipers playing the song.
I love the
it's
song.
Kick ass.
G'day, mate.
For some reason, when AC/DC first came out, I guess I was so used to my British Invasion melodic rock and roll, right. Whether it was the Stones or the Who,
scare you?
Or the Beatles. No, I just didn't, you know, the vocals were, I just didn't get the vocals, I think. But for some reason, when I got to riff, I started liking AC/DC. And then I really started liking AC/DC and certain songs.
And then you
songs,
heard it too many times?
Well, There are a few songs. I mean, I don't know why Riff couldn't play more AC/DC, to be a lot more AC/DC, but stuff like Who Made Who and just certain songs. I mean, all of it. And then I went and saw him live. Of course,
what's up with your format?
Some cocksucker was in my seat
in
the fifth row, and it's so fucking loud, and I'm trying to tell him he's in my seat, and he's saying, no, I'm not.
Oh, and he's taking up all your boogieing time.
Of course.
That is a loud show. They don't have one ballad. Not one. Zero ballad. Zero slow songs. Nothing.
That's good.
And you know what was frustrating about the show? You can hit the outro. Was that... Is this an NFL game on? Oh, it's Thursday night. That's right. Yeah. This is Friday's show.
What a stinker of a game, too.
Oh, there's a lot of sports on the next few days. Holy moly.
Isn't it great?
Baseball. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I can't, you know, Maz and I were texting today, and Maz was complaining about the baseball games taking so long. And
amen.
They were ridiculous yesterday. I don't know how anyone can watch a whole game. 5 hours?
5 hours?
The Yankees game. He was bitching about the Yankees game. That's how long the game it was. It went on and on. It wouldn't end. The last 2 minutes or last two innings must have been an hour and a half. It was fucking crazy. It was a good game, too.
Who won?
I hope
the Yankees won. 10-9. They had to come back.
DJ LeMahieu, man. Yeah, LeMahieu had a big hit. Here he is winning batting titles in both leagues. Hell yeah.
You know, I had no idea he's the first one to win it in both leagues, but he is.
He was in our studios, too, at Sports Radio.
That is if you give him a batting title for a 60-game season.
Yeah. Well, hey, didn't the Cleveland pitcher, didn't he win the Triple Crown of pitching this year?
Oh.
Yeah, Shane Bieber?
Yeah, Biebs won the Triple Crown in pitching, so that counts. Good job, baseball.
I don't know about these stats.
And the Reds became the first team to lose a series by not being shut out the whole series. They didn't score a run the whole series. But it's a three-game postseason series.
I know. And I was watching that 0-0 game for 12 fucking innings. And then it's like, oh, we got to do a show. I'm going to go downstairs, and they're going to score a run.
Mother
and they did.
Effort.
Any excitement this weekend? Anybody?
No.
Oh, Trudy's got a great event.
I am emceeing the Moonlight Masquerade Gala at the Robert Kidd Gallery in Birmingham. So,
well, is that a Wheels event?
No, that's a
Trudy event.
Somebody messaged me yesterday, and I was like, "I'll go to that." And I realized then I was being used as an MC.
Bullshit.
Dope.
Yo, that could have been me.
Somehow I feel D's in the mix. I don't know. There maybe wrong.
Yes, it's a D related. Yeah,
I see.
Thing that happened.
Okay. Well, thank God we have such a long outro. We can get all that in. Why don't you plug it one more time?
Crap.
Sam, good.
You're good?
7:30. Yep.
And where is it again? Where is it?
At the Robert Kidd Gallery in Birmingham. Haven't you ever been there?
What is on display at this gallery this time?
Crap.
Is there a theme that I should know about?
Charity.
Yeah.
Charity. It's for a great cause.
Charity.
Seriously?
Hope Against Trafficking. So it's to, you know, raise money.
I'm going to play that handcuffs.
Okay.
All right. Ooh, well, there was a reason.
Forget to go to the Drew and Mike store and see all the great things that are everything's on sale. Everything's on sale.
You could also go see Denny and Rick. Buy some memorabilia. Yeah.
Wherever that is.
Rick was very upset, by the way. He sent me some texts.
Oh, please. What's he upset about?
I don't have enough time to explain it, but he thought we were making too much fun of him.
Do you think he's being reasonable?
I replied, I think, reasonably back to him.
Okay.
Does that make enough sense?
What's up, pussy?
Full circle.
Charlie LaDuff with No BS News. And again, possibly the head of the founder of the Proud Boys. And Charlie and ML both have merch available. ML's got the masks. If you want a COVID mask, he's got those, whatever they call them.
Chin diapers.
And room 7609 keychains and all kinds of great stuff. And like us on Facebook. Damn it! Review us on iTunes. We'll see you. Have a great weekend.
Bye, Brandon.
I really reached my breaking point after I made that jump to heroin. And I just knew if I didn't make a change, I would ultimately lose my life. I was passing by a police department and I just made the split second decision to walk in. The police officer greeted me. Hope Not Handcuffs arrived and saved my life.
The first step doesn't need to be the hardest. Let us help guide you to recovery. Go to HopeNotHandcuffs.com to learn more.